What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Flagrant 2. No easy buckets analysis by assholes. Water cooler commentary for your sports needs. We are back here. I'm Andrew Schultz. I'm here with Akash Singh and Real Life Kaz.
Yo, yo.
Talking that shit. NBA wives got a little liberated this week. This is news to me. I came here. I sat down. I was thinking of serious sports topics to talk about.
There was a lot of serious sports topics.
A lot of serious things going on.
We got ass eating and foot fetishes. So.
That's exactly what Kaz brought up immediately. I was like, why don't we talk about, you know, Kyrie and Markel Fultz's shoulder? And then Kaz was like, how about we talk about how Gabrielle Union eats Dwayne Wade's ass?
And I was she has the comfort to talk about or alluding to.
She's
eating. 45.
She just said she eats dudes' asses. She didn't say which dudes.
Listen, the reason Dwayne Wade got hair so beautiful like that is from good ass eating. I think that's the key.
I just think it's a little ironic. She comes out with this interview today and then Dwayne Wade gets benched. I don't know. I happen to notice.
I'm about to say that man's having a rough week.
Well, if you knew you were going to get your ass eaten, wouldn't you want to sit that on a nice little seat? Get it all warmed up and puckered for your wife who's going to go to Munchtown?
Oh, the Munchtown?
Munchtown.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing I've always wondered about the ass eating, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it the gooch?
We got graphics, motherfuckers. Y'all not watching at home. You don't watch it on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAndrewSchultz. We got that's some ass eating faces right there.
She looked like she just.
That is the Kevin Hart I eat ass face. Remember from Golden Man?
Absolutely.
You got to walk on the I eat ass.
Absolutely. And he's like, you did all right. You've eaten it better.
Now, like, to be fair, afterwards, she came out, didn't really deny that, you know, this is what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. But she said something along the lines of, like, listen, 45 years old, like, we should have, like, sexual reciprocity.
Right.
In a relationship and understand this is my sexual life for the past couple of decades. Like, I have this much experience in it. Like, and basically, like, you're not going to shame me in whatever. So, you know, talk about what you want to talk about.
Eat your ass.
Eat your man's ass,
like,
bro.
There's a lot of people, a lot of girls listening right now that have probably eaten a dude's ass who, you know, drives a garbage truck or some shit like that. Like, you've eaten way stinkier asses than Dwayne Wade's ass. Dwayne Wade got a great ass. You know he's showering after every game. You know he's showering.
I'm saying get Dwayne Wade's permission before you just tell the whole world you eat his ass.
I mean, you know, but not for nothing, like, it's his wife.
That's embarrassing, you know, to have your ass eaten?
I don't know. Run it by if it could be embarrassing.
It's definitely something that you want to have ran through. But, like, definitely, like, talk to me about it first before you just go and sway in the morning and just say that I like
that. Mouth's not just for ass eating. It's also for talking to me about talking about ass eating.
They don't have kids, though.
That is true. But
he got kids.
He has kids.
That's his stepmom.
She can't have kids. So that's
Wait,
like,
she can't have kids?
Yeah, she has, like, she had, like, a bunch of fertility issues. So, like, I don't know if she physically can't have it, but she's had, like, a lot of fertility issues, and that's why they don't have.
Oh, so they've tried, it hasn't worked, et cetera.
Which is
what somebody brought up, which was what you were talking about before. It's like, yo, how are you going to talk about this to Dwayne Wade? You know, it's going to make it so hard for him in the locker room. They'll be like, listen, Dwayne Wade cheated on his wife during a break. And she stuck around. It's like, yo, you lived through some ass eating, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right, dude.
But, like, we're talking about ass eating in terms of how it benefits him, right? Like, you don't eat ass for you.
No. That's what he likes.
Yeah, and if she likes that, maybe she likes that. Whatever.
Now, to be fair, this is absolute, you know, something that we need to point out. Mm-hmm. If it's the gooch or if it's full hole. If it's full hole, I think that's
wifey.
Obviously that's wifey.
That's wifey. That's
but I almost feel like, I feel like the gooch.
I ain't letting any girl eat my hole.
I almost feel like the gooch is, like, almost accepted a little bit more. I think it's more accepted than, like, the hole.
Right.
Because I feel like the hole, you gotta, there's, like, bending involved.
I feel like we're talking about mobsters that have snitched. The gooch and the hole were loyal people to the Carbone family.
Well, I guess.
Things have come to my attention and let me feel like they're no longer that way.
But, no, I mean, like, between that and, like, the Steph Curry thing with the feet, And apparently Steph Curry's really into this.
When he asks Aisha for nudes, apparently she sends him feet pics. Mm-hmm. And she also spilled the beans. But like he didn't say that. She said that.
First of all, we need a picture of Aisha's feet.
That was the first thing I wanted to know.
We don't even need to see her. Like, just judging off of her.
You know she got nice feet?
You know she has amazing feet.
Descending order.
You think this... What do you mean descending order? If your feet don't go down,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Don't ever take a picture.
That's a problem, dog.
Your feet are not photogenic.
I legit don't think I could be with a girl.
Nah.
She wearing open-toed shoes. Her shit look like a pitchfork.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I've never had like...
I can't do that at all. Your trident foot. Get that out of here. Who the hell are you? Ariel's dad? Put your foot away. Don't you dare wear a sandal.
God of the CS. Get out of here.
No, okay, now when you ask for a sandal, that's actually funny. When you have the second toe way longer and you ask to get like a pair of shoes or sandals specifically, do you ask for your foot size just ignoring the fact that the second toe is way longer and just let it hang?
So like the middle toe, you're a size 10.
Do you go off middle toe or second toe?
Second toe? I think you gotta go off.
You gotta go off middle toe. Man. You can't have this shit hanging off.
Yeah, because your toe's only gonna get worse because then like you're crunching up a little bit. And there's like corns and bunions happening if you don't get enough space in between.
You know what? Alex, it's taken us too long to see this foot that I'm gonna whack off to. I'm a foot guy. But it's nothing sexual. It's not sexual.
No,
for
it's
me,
not
sexual.
Okay.
It's I just like looking. I've thought about it a lot. I like eyes. I don't want to fuck eyes. I like legs. I don't want to fuck legs. Uh-huh. I just like the way they look, and I want it to be presentable on my girl. Could I date a girl with really fucked up feet? I don't think I could.
Zoom in, bro.
She got some fire feet.
Hold on.
Nah, she definitely got some fire
feet. Hold on. You know what's
I'm
so funny?
And the middle toe looks a little, it looks like it has a little.
Okay, this is what's so funny about this picture. She's in a knit shirt that may or may not be see-through and some tight little like booty shorts, right, for everybody who's listening at home. We're not even asking to zoom in on that part of her body. Like, there could be areola and nipple just popping out somewhere. Yeah. Beat
it,
lady.
The action's up here.
What's going on over here?
Did you Google Aisha Curry feet? You know, Carly Aguilino is a friend of ours. She said there's a wiki feet.
Oh, yeah.
She's on there.
What do you mean there's a wiki? Of course there's a wiki feet.
Oh, gosh.
What do you mean there is one?
I didn't know there was a wiki feet. You been on that bit?
Of course I've been on it. Akash, you out of your mind with have I been on it? I've also Googled things. Of course, it's the same thing for me. If there's a girl that I'm like, there's a girl that, you know, I into and she might be in the public sphere.
Oh, yeah, I always. Even if they're
I'll
famous.
Google her feet, but I didn't know there was a wiki feet.
Let me tell you something. This is honest from me to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Feet of the year goes to whom?
I don't even know who these are.
No, those are disgusting. Let's get those out of here.
Good on those.
But in all seriousness, within the first, they don't have this fine. Okay, within the first interaction of talking to a girl, I ask if she has nice feet, and then I try to get her to send me pictures of her feet. And then she's like, wait, do you want nudes? I'm like, don't you dare send me your naked body. No, that's disrespecting to you, okay? I'm just trying to make sure that your feet aren't fucked.
You know what I noticed?
What?
When like IG hoes, when they don't have like, you can tell they got nice feet or not because they'll hide them. Like they'll have a picture of on the beach, but they'll like bury their toes in the sand.
Ooh, I look at that.
I peep game.
Where are your feet?
Yeah,
this is so interesting to me because like I've never been like into feet. Mm-hmm. Like it's never been like a because I used to date a ballerina and she didn't have like the best feet.
That's terrible.
Okay, ballerina's feet are horrible.
Horrible. Yeah. But it was never a thing that like was a turnoff to me until I dated someone with amazing feet.
Then
and
you
I was
look at
like,
those Jack Sparrow ballerina feet. And you're like, there's no way I can.
I was
do
like,
that.
There's a whole different world here. Mm-hmm. Like that, I didn't even realize.
No. I get it.
I get it. And she looks like she got some fire feet, man. So
yeah. Shout out to you. Okay. Well, whatever. We don't have to get into it anymore.
The ass eating different, but the feet, I wouldn't.
I eat a little ass.
I eat ass. It's just it's getting my ass eaten. That's the issue.
Never in my life did I want that to happen to me. I'm being honest. Never in my life did I want that to happen. I don't know if I told you about this.
No, you did not.
Oh boy.
Oh, you got your ass eaten.
No, but it got close. I propped it up a little. I was receiving fellatio from a lovely woman who was very into it and very committed to it and was doing it in a way that I'd never received it in my life. It was one of the most most phenomenal blowjobs I've ever had in my entire life. And I don't know what the hell happened, but while she's doing this thing, I just had this overwhelming sensation of, Schultz, you need to get your ass eaten now. You know, it wasn't like, dog, it was not like you need to get it eaten at some point in time. So you need to get it eaten now. No, I'm not joking. So I was looking out my window for someone to lock eyes with so they could experience this thing with me. Like, you ever see a beautiful woman walking down the street? You look for someone else to be like, yo, she's beautiful, right? I'm seeing this. Absolutely. That's how I felt about this this fellatio. And all of a sudden, I started getting, and I was so, and I didn't have the confidence to be like, yo, could you eat my ass? But what I did
you perked it up. I lifted it.
I lifted it. I did a lift. Shout out to Filet. I lift. Lift.
Oh my God.
I did that shit, bro. Dude, and she didn't go for it. She went down to Grundle, but she didn't go down to.
All right, so here's the thing. Me and my girlfriend had a.
This is a sports podcast, by the way. All right. We get in there. Can we just get out? Listen.
We just found out about this.
This is breaking news,
this
guys.
It's a bonding experience. Go on.
So, you know, me and my girl had a talk about this, and this kind of leads to last week. It's never okay to hit a woman, right?
Okay.
Me and my girl had a serious conversation.
How you gonna
about
call
this?
The police on me hitting you, babe? I ate your ass. That's at least two strikes to the face if you eat your ass. You're crazy. Where's the logic in that?
No, this is facts though. This is facts. I told her straight up, I'm like, baby, I'm like, I would never ever lay my hand. Because we used to play fight a little bit and I'd flinch and she'd flinch. I'm like, why are you flinching? Like, you really think I'd ever hit you? She's like, I don't know. It was just natural. I'm like, baby, there's only one instance where I'll ever hit you in the face,
okay,
right? Is if you're going down on me, and you go past the point of no return,
okay.
And if you do anything, I'm like, this is exit only. There's nothing entering, and if you even come close to it, I'm punching the square in the face, and I'm giving you this fair warning right now. So when it happens, then the police come. You can't be like, yo, I didn't warn you. Like, I've told you this numerous times.
All right,
like,
but what if she puts her foot in there?
Foot, hand to the face. Closed fist. I'm like, I told her shit. I'm like, yo, you could cheat on me with my brother in my bed.
And
I won't hit you. But if I'll you be mad. Anything. I won't hit you. But if you put anything near my exit area, uppercut to the fucking jaw.
Okay, but why? Are you afraid?
Schultz has a great theory that I actually,
I'm afraid.
Afraid you'll like it?
That's the only reason.
I don't want to experience.
Bro, I had a guy. I used to do a joke about it, but I had a girl ask me. She's like, "Why don't you want me to, you know, put my finger in your ass?" And I was like, "Listen, because I don't want to enjoy the fuck out of that. That's why I ain't trying to be getting head and talking about, hey, can you slide some fingers in my ass? You know, because it will only.
You are a different person after that.
It's not gonna stop at one. You know what I mean? Like, right? Like, think about girls. Like, at first, they liked it when you finger it up with one, and then once that shit starts to open up a little bit, throw some more in there.
This is a tunnel I don't want to go down ever, though.
I don't want nothing going down that tunnel.
Nothing at all. I'm good.
That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to
get
all...
That's what she tells me, too. She's like, yo, I'm telling you. You might like... I'm like, listen,
I don't know.
I've had my friends. I've had friends this... Bro, swear by it. And I asked him, like, yo, how deep, dog? Like, how far? How far? Like, yo, Alex,
that's where they lie. I guarantee you, that's where they lie.
Alex does our video and stuff. I said, I have friends who swear by it. My man just raised his hand, bro. He raised his hand.
Careful on the table.
Yeah, he raised his shit. Alex, you gotta speak loud. So you like getting the ass eaten?
It's amazing.
He says it's amazing.
Just eating, or you get that. You get that stick 'em.
Just like lift around the rim.
Your rim.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Yo, hold on.
Alex, you gotta pull up the microphone.
And
would
you get him to eat his ass? Well, hold
up. Let me taste that ass. No, that shit is wild right there, bro. So you just like a playing with it.
Yeah.
You don't want penetration. You're not going to put the webbing up to my ass.
No, we're good, bro. I've had the same exact orgasm my entire sexual life. And I'm good. I'm right there, not gonna lie. Bro,
that's the other thing I was thinking about. Like, I need ways to not come. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck are these guys out here trying to find more ways to come better? Like, what's going on with your dick, dog? Because my shit, I need the pause button, right? That's like, what I need. I need DVR. I mean, let's run that back a little bit. Let's go.
I need to build my stamina.
Hey, you know what we should work on, babe?
It's like a game of 2K when the Gatorade cup pops up when it's tired. Like, yo, I need less of that. Yo, I need more.
Why do girls even subscribe to this? Hey, baby, let's find ways we can have sex for shorter.
No, I'm good. This is a sports podcast, by the way.
All right, let's get to this sports. You know who needs his ass ate? Andre Roberson.
Oh, man.
The reason I say that is I was watching a clip on House of Highlights. Shout out to House of Highlights.
Oh, shout out to House of Highlights. Shout out to Omar.
Who's the dude? Omar. Yeah. Shout out to Omar on that. And he airballed 2 free throws in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I was infuriated because
you're a professional.
What are you doing all summer, man? That's the only thing I could think of. Like, he has no shame.
Yeah.
He gets fingers in his ass. That's a guy, that's a finger in his ass type dude, a brave one about it. Because if you're willing to embarrass yourself over and over and over
in
again,
in public,
in front of millions of people potentially, and you just don't care, you don't work on it.
My thing that pisses me off so much about free throws, especially with Andre Roberson, and you're a guard, and you have like
Biggs is different. Yeah. It's different. Like, your hands are massive. Yeah.
He was like, "Yo, it's like trying to throw a tennis ball into a solo cup." That's what it's like for Shaq. So I understand that. Andre Roberson with free throws, it's literally the only aspect of basketball is completely up to you. There's no defense. You can practice as much as you want.
That's it.
It's never going to change in a million years of playing basketball. It's going to be the same thing every game, every day. And not only do you airball one, you airball two.
It's just sad.
It's
sad. It pisses you off as a fan. As a teammate, it must infuriate you. Mm. And if it's a psychological thing, then work on that all summer.
Yeah.
Get a therapist and work on whatever demons are stopping you from completing the easiest task in an NBA basketball game.
And the thing is, it's not like he's an effort guy, right?
That's what I was just about to say.
So you know about putting in a time.
Yeah, like he's a dude who's become an NBA starter on a really good NBA basketball team because he works hard on defense and he does all the little things that teams need to win.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like he's not working hard. It's got to be a mental block.
Bro, it's a mental block, but we've also found something very interesting with a guy like that. We found out how much he wants to make in his life. He's reached it.
Yeah. No, he's good. You know what I mean? He is good being a mid-level guy his entire life.
And it's interesting when you find out, like, when people reach a certain level that they're comfortable not going past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality with him because, think about it, he must know deep down, if he learned how to consistently hit a corner three,
mm-hmm.
and he learned how to shoot free throws, he could triple his salary.
Dude, especially in today's NBA, when you got people making $80, $75 million for being just role players.
Role players are making $80 million.
And I don't think you can win a championship without a dude like Andre Roberson.
No.
Every team got one. You need that long defender.
You need these guys, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if you're going to get, when you get in the playoffs and you start going after guys like KD, right? When you start going after guys, I don't know if he would guard Bron.
He'd probably guard like Klay Thompson. Yeah.
But even a Klay, like when you're chasing guys around, and he's built right for it. His wingspan's crazy. Like you want a guy like that.
He's a lockdown defender. Like he's an elite professional defender, right? And it's like, I don't know how you get this far in the NBA without ever learning how to put the ball in the hoop.
That's
it's amazing to me.
Literally, all you have to do is shoot from the corners.
Yeah.
And make free throws. You don't even have to work on any other shot in the game.
Yeah, no, they are never going to game plan for you ever.
Ever.
Especially, they weren't game planning for you before. Now that they got Melo and Paul George and Westbrook, they damn sure will never game plan for you.
Just stay in the corner.
Bruce Bowen built a legacy, not just money, a legacy on being able to hit the corner three and play defense.
Dude, the corner three is massive.
Yeah.
And it's not... I'm a guy who doesn't shoot the ball that well.
Mm.
It's not that hard a shot.
It's the shortest three-pointer you can hit.
Sure. Yeah. And it's lined up with the backboard. There's a depth perception thing. I think a lot of times, like, you know, when you play in a park, the backboard isn't glass.
Yeah.
There's something you could see the end of. Yeah. But when you play
on the NBA court, it's a thick backboard. You know what I mean? Like, you could kind of know.
Line it
if
up.
Your arm is lined up right behind there, you're at least going to get it straight.
Bro, I think he got to check his vision. I think there's something wrong with him.
It's got to be.
I think literally he might not be able to see. it's just shocking to me. I would love to talk to him about it, like, and not even to clown him. Like, I'd love to sit down and be like, why? Like, Like, wouldn't, even if you don't want the money, they're starving kids. You know what I mean? Like, just work on it and then give all the money to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So I wonder about some some of these dudes, though. Like, Rondo, terrible free throw shooter, terrible shooter. Mm. In practice, are they just knocked down and then in the game is a whole different story? Or what is that?
I think Rondo got, like, came around a little bit better to be a free throw shooter. I think he just used to suck in crunch time. Like, he was basically like a mini Hackershack at one point, right, where they would foul him.
Yeah.
And, like, he would make his free throws all game.
Yeah.
But when it was time to win, when it was time to get the ball back or do the Hackershack, whatever they would call it, for Rondo, he would just freeze up.
Yeah.
And it's like, he wasn't nobody that was, like, afraid of the moment. He's hit clutch shots before and made clutch plays.
Yeah.
Free throws are just such a huge mental block for these professional athletes that it's just like...
I wonder if there's a physical thing, because Rondo had big hands, massive hands, long arms, and I wonder if there is...
Giannis is like a 70%+ free throw shooter, though, and he's got the biggest hands.
Who?
Giannis. Kawhi's a good free throw shooter. He's got massive hands.
Oh, is Giannis, does Giannis shoot well?
Maybe he was like 70-something percent last year.
He's just pretty well from the free throw
line. That's interesting. Yeah. Maybe,
so explain. So this is one thing. Explain Markelle Fultz.
Dude, we got to talk about the disgruntled point guards in the NBA this week. No, that's a big... This has been a rough week for NBA point guards, but let's talk about Fultz. Okay. And I think the discussion is more about the 76ers than it is about Fultz.
Okay.
Why are they... So for people who don't know, Fultz has horrible free throw shooting form that he just changed into, and it just comes out that he has like a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it goes back to my theory that everything in Philadelphia breaks. Everything in Philadelphia breaks.
It really is crazy.
Everything in Philadelphia... breaks. Yeah. I swear to God, they're a cursed city.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to sports, they're absolutely cursed city.
Is it a curse or is it just karma?
It what they do.
I mean, they're just generally assholes.
They did boo Santa Claus.
They what?
They booed Santa Claus. You never heard of that?
They cheered when Michael Irvin was paralyzed.
Yeah.
On the field.
Oh, well then fuck them. There's something wrong there. It really is something wrong there. And something wrong. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is, like, you have a guy, Joel Embiid, that you have done everything in your power to limit the amount of playing time, been incredibly cautious with him, worked him through his injuries 20 minutes at a time. And Markelle Fultz, you're like, instead of healing your shoulder, just shoot
same thing with Ben Simmons.
Like a girl.
Same thing with Ben Simmons. He missed the whole season.
So what is happening? Do they not believe in Markelle Fultz?
My thing is like, yo, if your shoulder is that bad, sit out. I watched him in college. He was an amazing scorer. Like, he was a college James Harden at one point.
Yeah.
Where, like, every time he touched the ball, he's either getting a bucket or he's getting somebody else a bucket. Yeah. And I know it's the Pac-12, I know it's college, but still, a lot of those skills that he has translates.
Sure.
That's why he went number one overall.
Yeah.
My thing with him is, like, the same thing with Andre Roberson. There's something mentally going on there, man.
Dude, he looks... destroyed.
He looks like he hasn't.
Awful, dude. This is the number one pick.
Yeah.
He should be walking around with the big swinging dick.
Yeah.
And right now, he has the confidence of Theon Greyjoy. This dude is posting inspirational quotes on his Instagram.
Oh, he's already gotten to that point?
Dog, I want to go and find the Instagram.
No.
And it's like bad, I like bro.
Fultz. I like Fultz, like as a kid.
I want to like him, but you could tell he's searching. He's Bible verses.
Yeah.
You could tell he's searching. I got a, what's it called of it? I should have sent it to Alex since now we got the tech on blast.
But the thing with Fultz
he just goes, on his Instagram, it says, God can restore what is broken and change it into something amazing. All you need is faith. Joel 2:25. First of all, don't take advice from Joels about shit that's broken. If there's anybody that should know.
I didn't say that, God.
Joel Embiid?
Yes, Joel from the Bible, Joel, not... You know,
it could have been Joel Embiid said that at 2:25 p.m. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, point is this, but the point is this guy is searching for. He's a religious man. You know what I mean?
I'm asking about you. Do you not get it?
It's not about me.
What do you mean?
Of course, like,
clearly it's a Bible verse.
Why are you saying Joel? All right, I guess you should have just made the connection clearer because I thought you really didn't know.
Of course it's a Bible verse. The guy's sitting by a lake. what do you think? He's really quoting Joel Embiid?
I thought you didn't know. That's why I was really like, did Kaz need to correct you on that?
No.
My bad.
Kaz was making sure he goes to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was making sure, like, I don't
co-sign this idea.
If the lightning bolt strikes, I'm like, yo, strike him, not me, dude. I'll back up.
All right, so as you were saying.
No, there's something there, man, because I feel like And he's kind of been put in a weird position, right? Where he's this combo guard who doesn't, he doesn't really get the benefit of being part of the quote unquote the process.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like the ending of it. It was like, oh, we got this guy, and Embiid's healthy, Ben Simmons is healthy, we signed JJ Redick. Like, it's time to win now. Like, we're supposed to be Eastern Conference power now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's gotten, and we're super early. It's only like, what, first half of the week of the NBA season. But, you know, the confidence in him just looks night and day from pro and the college game. And like, he had some decent moments in the opening game when they played, who'd they play? They played the Wizards, and he had some decent moments, but like,
he just won't shoot. He won't pull the trigger. His only layups.
Yeah, it was some stat where I think they said he averaged 10 3-point attempts in college.
Yeah.
He's yet to take a 3-point shot in the NBA. That's a confidence thing.
Sit the guy down. I don't understand. Yeah. I just don't understand, especially from that organization. But maybe this is the difference between Hinkie and Colangelo. Mm-hmm. Is it Colangelo?
Yeah.
And maybe Colangelo's like, listen, we're not doing this sit down shit.
Yeah.
Because they said that they were going to have Embiid on a minutes restriction. Then he came out and dropped, I think he put 30 minutes in the first game. So maybe there is a little bit of a more of a competitive nature in Colangelo than there is in Hinkie.
I also think, and I could be super early and super wrong eventually. I think Ben Simmons is a big issue with that too.
Talk to me.
Because Ben Simmons is legit their point guard.
That's what I was wondering. Why would you trade up for Fultz if you got Ben Simmons? Did they not know how much of a point Ben Simmons was?
He's a combo guard. He's like 6'5".
Because
like,
he's a Tatum or Jackson.
Two, though.
But he's a guy who needs the ball in his hands.
That's right. He's not a side bitch.
No.
And he was he was on a team where like there were no other bitches in the city.
Not at all.
Like, what did he play for? Washington?
He was a bad bitch in Boston.
He was a bad bitch in Boston. Yes. Or a bad bitch in San Francisco. Exactly. Yeah. So he's getting all the attention, taking shots whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And maybe some people, their confidence in the way they play the game is derived from the amount of opportunities that they get to shoot.
Yeah.
And he just didn't get enough. He doesn't have enough opportunities.
I don't even think it's a shooting thing. I just think he just doesn't touch the ball enough.
Right.
Like some guards, they just need to have the ball in their hand just to get a feel for the game. You
right.
know what I mean? Just to be able to. That's what Ben Simmons does. Like Ben Simmons has the ball in his hands. Like he's like a young LeBron where he has the ball in his hands.
He's nasty. Yeah. I'm so impressed with him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's so good. He's so good. And they completely make the right choice making Ben Simmons their point guard because you don't. 6'10 point guards just don't grow on trees.
If you're Philly, why would you give up a number one pick next year that's probably going to be really high?
Mm-hmm.
You could have just stayed at three, taking Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum. You would have had a point guard. You would have had a long team.
Yeah.
And length is like a thing that everybody's going after.
Maybe they thought this kid was guaranteed buckets.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what they thought. They called he was getting compared to James Harden coming out the league, even though James Harden even wasn't James Harden when he got out.
It took
a while for him to get there. My thing is like now if you're Philly and you're looking at this kid struggle and you're looking at Jason Tatum right now, who's killing for a team that's like supposed to contend right now, and he's stepping up right in for Gordon Hayward and playing really impressive basketball. Yeah. And like imagine a lineup with JJ Redick, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and Joel Embiid.
Scared.
And like you're not even touching Emeka Okafor, Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
Who, you know, like that's a squad right there.
Yeah,
you know? It's so scary. It's I don't know, man. I you can't get mad at them because they've hit on Embiid and they've hit on Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
But super early prediction. Like if he turns out to not be who they expect them to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be looking at that Jason Tatum pick like, damn, we really could have had a 300.
Maybe let the kid get healthy and then maybe he could fill like a Jamal Crawford type of situation.
Yeah.
Just a microwave coming off the bench. Because he might like that better.
Probably.
There's always ego with these lottery picks where they want to be the rookie of the year, they want to be MVP. He was even saying that. But at the same point in time, like maybe he has the maturity to realize, hey, I play better. I play better when I have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If I get the ball for 20 minutes a game, that's better for my confidence, better for my team, and better for my game than if I'm playing for 35 minutes a game, but I'm getting zero touches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still coming off the bench right now, but he's coming off the bench like with Ben Simmons still in the game. Like, I think you let him
play that point Harden type of shit.
Yeah, and just, you know, exactly. But what Harden was when he first got to the league.
Yeah.
Like, he came in and spelled like Westbrook for some time and played point guard and just, you know, it was just a bucket getter.
Yeah, so, like, just let him develop.
Yeah, we'll see.
Until we got time.
So follow Markelle Fultz. We're super early. Send us screenshots of all his inspirational quotes.
Anybody going through a breakup, follow Markelle Fultz.
It's
exactly what you're looking for.
He's a good kid. I don't want everybody to think I'm down on Markelle Fultz. I'm just saying that is creepy. Just as far as like the way you're shooting is different. Like, I understand if, like, your confidence is off or, like, yeah. sometimes the ball just isn't bouncing away. But, yeah. like, you just look like you've never shot a free throw before.
No, he shoots like a mom. like, did you see the form?
It looks like he's shot putting it.
Yeah,
like,
both hands up.
I actually just, haven't seen it. I saw some minutes of the Philly.
It's the weirdest thing.
He looks like he's putting a piece of luggage on top of a closet.
Mm. He's putting it.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, like your storage. Like, yeah. I won't need this until
when
summer.
You're putting in the overhead bin. On
exactly.
Airplane.
Overhead bin. He's yeah. overhead binning yeah. his free throws. Very good. Okay. Steph's throwing his mouthpiece. How do we feel about it? Is
he
Steph...
probably didn't get foot picks that day.
That's
a little
tight. It is. Aisha, get a pedicure. So yeah. your man on out here getting furious.
You think he shells those picks? You think KD was tight too? That he didn't get to see Aisha's feet and he was like,
oh, he's not
bullshit.
Showing those feet to anybody. Though again, you can show feet because you're
yeah,
going to go.
Feet
yeah.
They've all seen her feet.
Of course. She's been to games with open toe shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feet that you can share. I think yeah. you can share foot pictures with your friends.
I can't believe we're going right back to the feet again. But
well, of
I think
course
that's
we're going
best.
Back to the feet again. That's
I think that's
who we
the
are.
Best part of a foot fetish where because it is like the one thing that could be like wildly attractive to a woman.
Yeah.
That could just be out and about all the time that no one's going to judge, that's, right?
Yes, yes.
If you're a chest man,
yep.
like after a while, some girls are going to be like, oh my God, like, you know, like this is inappropriate. Like,
yeah.
you know, no, if your ass is out, like, you know, put that away, you know what I mean? But no one's ever going to be like, yo, put those toes away, you slut. Like,
yeah.
that's never going to happen. So, like, you could be in the middle of anywhere and just be like, oh, yes, this is good for me. But, yeah, no, Steph Curry and the mouthpiece incident, he got fined, what, like $25,000 for tossing a mouthpiece in the general direction?
I think it was 50.
It was 50?
Yeah, I think it's 50.
Jeez.
So what's the deal? He got upset, he throws his mouthpiece, and then this is a big deal for what reason?
Because it's the second time he did that.
Yeah. Yeah, but people get upset, they throw a basketball into the stands. That has a way bigger chance of hurting somebody than a mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't.
There's no fine for
fair,
throwing a basketball.
To be fair, he didn't hit the referee. And this is Stephen Curry.
Oh, there's okay. So some people are saying that he was trying to hit the referee with the mouthpiece.
He threw it in the general direction of.
And
the
his response was, "I have better aim than that."
The
if
same
I
exact response as when he did it against the Cavs, which I just find kind of lame.
Oh, he doesn't have any.
He didn't even reference it. He had used the exact same response before.
He got no bars, bro.
Dog ate your homework twice. You know what I
mean? That's strange though, because like if somebody gets upset and throws their headband on the floor, they're not getting fined.
If you
for
throw
that.
It at a referee, even if it doesn't hit him, you throw it near a referee, they're okay. gonna.
It's just throwing something at a referee. I get it. Fine. It is what it is. I think that
he's acting very light skinned, by the way.
Is he very light skinned?
He has light skin tendon. I'm a Steph Curry stan. Like I've been a stan of his since like Davidson. All that stuff. I love the way he plays. All that stuff. He does have some very light skinned tendencies.
Because when dark skinned dudes get upset, they throw fists.
Yes. Stop multiple.
Shout out to the Pacers.
we ain't throwing no damn mouth guards. We throwing drinks. Fans,
I need to protect my teeth.
His whole game is a light skin game. He shoots threes. He's got weak ankles. It's all very light skin.
Very dancey.
So, I was talking to my buddy about this, and we were wondering where does this come from with Steph, right? Like, where does this attitude come from, right? Is this who Steph really is, and he's been covering it up this whole time with this sweet boy image, mm-hmm. etc.? Or is this possibly Draymond rubbing off on the team?
Nah, I think this has always been Steph. I think it's just been us who kind of threw that baby face, oh, look at this, you know, good family, church loving guy.
Like you said, it's kind of a bitch ass way to get upset. You just throw your mouthpiece when you have a tantrum. Like, it's just.
It is a bitch ass way
so
to get
that's
upset.
Exactly what Steph Curry would do if he was upset.
But here's the thing about Steph is undeniably alpha.
Yeah.
Like, this is an alpha motherfucker. When he plays, you know he feels like he could score on anybody, that he wants to take the final shot, that he's willing to take that shot from anywhere. He is an incredibly confident alpha player. That being said, it just so happens his game is the most beta game that's ever existed. Yeah. I mean, it's just high arcing layups, high arcing three. Even his threes are soft. You know what I mean? Like, you're great, but they're just so. It just
like, they soar over the backboard.
Yeah, it's a rainbow. So it's like, that's the only way you would describe his three. Yeah. You know, you almost want him to just shoot it straight at the rim, like Artest, like zero arc. You just throw it like a dart, and it just goes in sometime. But so maybe he has his conflict. Maybe there's a situation with Steph where it's like, look, I'm a badass motherfucker, and people need to put some respect on my name. And I'm not getting the respect I deserve, maybe because I'm a littler guy, or maybe because my game is more based on shooting and not based on athleticism.
You, it's the light skin thing, bro.
He's upset about
he
it.
He has melanin deficient like disorder.
Tendencies? Yeah. Really?
Like, he has that, bro. Like, especially in a game like basketball, mm-hmm. where, you know, you look at the greats of the game, which is like your Kobe's, your Mike's, your Bron's, your Shaq's, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't want to make this a colorism thing, but like, people unfairly give like this soft label to Steph because of his game, but I do think a small part of it has to do with the fact that...
Listen, from a light-skinned Indian, I know light-skinned tendencies when I see light-skinned tendencies. He's whiny, he's throwing his mouthpiece, he's faithful to his girl. That's all very light-skinned. I know these tendencies.
Now, I don't think he's whiny, but I do think like he probably has to overcompensate for all these other things that he physically can't help. He can't help the way he looks, he can't help the way he plays, but it's like, I feel like that's why he doesn't just take like a 28-foot three, he'll take a 36-foot 3. Like,
so
he
has to do his way of being dark skinned.
That's his way of being like
you said, like more of a badass. Like, you know, like it's, you know, I could take this three here, but I'm gonna take it back here because, you know, like it's not like he's gonna go and dunk on somebody and monkey duck on him and like hang his like legs over somebody's neck. Like, that's right. Not his game. Like, he's not a powerful player like that. But like, his way of, and I've always said it, the best moment in the NBA is the Steph Curry fuck you three, when like Golden State goes on that run,
yeah,
and then Steph Curry pulls up from 40 and hits that fuck you three when like it's just the game's over in the third quarter, and like he doesn't sit down and play for the rest of the game. Like, that is, to me, that is the best play in professional basketball, more than a LeBron James block or chase down block or dunk, more than you know, a Russell Westbrook dunk. Like, when Steph Curry hits that fuck you three, the game is over.
Steph Curry and Drake are the same person to me. Like, nothing about you guys was sexy when we were growing up. Like, Drake, like, singing in rap songs, Steph Curry shooting a bunch of threes, and then you guys came in and you were so annoyingly undeniable that you just changed the whole fucking game. And it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy to watch him.
You know what it is? It's like,
you're light skinned, you're whiny, in love all the time. Shut the fuck up, man.
Are there no tough light skinned dudes? There's got to be a tough light skinned. Matt Barnes.
Kenyon Martin.
Matt Barnes.
Kenyon Martin.
So, or, yeah, light skinned will be soft or overcompensatingly insane.
And that's what I'm saying he's doing. He's overcompensating for his light skinned.
So, the way he overcompensates is to put more arc on his face. I'm going to show these dark skinned motherfuckers.
But even now, like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I feel for Steph a little bit because, like, I'm just a fan of his game and I just, like, just love watching him play. But it's like, I do think he gets, like, kind of a bad rap because of us, because of media.
Is Westbrook light skinned?
No, I wouldn't.
I think he's
a medium. Let me tell you something.
If Westbrook had the same game as Steph, he'd be considered light skin.
But
his game is so transracial or trans melanin or whatever you want to say, because he plays dark.
Yeah.
He's like the angriest black man.
Oh, fuck.
So that's my spirit animal.
He got the game.
A spirit animal.
Honestly,
a human is your spirit animal.
Yes.
Yo, that's how dope Russell
that's
is.
That's how dope he is.
Yeah. Yo, let me tell you, the conflict on OKC might have been that Westbrook had the dark skin game and KD had the light skin game.
Oh, KD definitely got light skin.
That's why I called him a cupcake all the time.
Wait, who called him cupcake?
Westbrook used to call him cupcake. You never followed that whole thing?
Hold on. Westbrook would call KD cupcake while they played together?
Kenneth Perkins started this whole thing. Go ahead.
So, you know, when apparently Westbrook and KD, like, Westbrook always used to call him like a little cupcake, like when they were teammates or whatever, right? So when KD had finally announced that he was, you know, leaving the Golden State, put out the Players Tribune thing, da, 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 everybody's looking at what Westbrook's going to post up. He just posts up a picture of some cupcakes. No caption, no nothing, right?
Just cupcakes.
So when they come to the, when KD's first game in OKC, what do all the OKC fans have? Pictures of cupcakes.
I remember this. I didn't know it started with Westbrook.
I thought Kenny Perkins started when he got traded OKC. If you did something soft, you just cupcake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that played a part into it, okay. But that's definitely what it was. And a lot of people who was around that Thunder team was like the reason why, like, oh, like they tolerated each other. They were cool. And like, you know, Russell and KD got along, but like Russell, he never thought KD had that dog in him like Russell did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so like he would call him, you know, you referred him as a cupcake, like a little softy sometimes. Like, he was good, but like he didn't have the dog like Russell did.
You think
but
that
nobody
KD,
does anyway.
You think KD is a cupcake?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I mean, like, if you call somebody that
old,
Katie
was light skinned, would he not be the most light skinned dude on earth? He'd be more light skinned than Steph.
He is. He probably is the most. Like, he's definitely more light skinned than Steph. Absolutely, because in his latest his championship pack of his sneakers that he came out with Nike,
yeah,
puts a little championship ring on the cupcake. In the insole.
Hold on, there's a cupcake inside.
There's a cupcake. I think you can pull this.
He
has
a hat with it. He's wearing.
He had a hat.
I remember the hat with the cupcake, but I didn't know his sneaker has.
There was
a cupcake
an insole, MVP, the Finals MVP pack or whatever, okay. Or something like that.
Yeah.
There was a picture of the cupcake with the ring on it inside the insole.
Wow. So yeah. Russell won.
Russell did win. Yes, but KD is definitely way more light skinned and stuff. Way more.
Damn, there's a lot of light skin slander going on today, guys.
I mean, hey, bro.
I'm light skin. I'm just saying things.
I got
I mean,
light skin friends. Facts.
I got light skin friends.
I feel like a white guy having to like defend.
That's what we say. Guys, I'm not racist. I have a black neighbor, okay?
Oh, man.
It's like, I don't hate light skin people, okay?
We need to
I
get
listen
a nice,
to Drake.
We need a light skin dude on here to defend the light skin game.
Who are we gonna find? We'll find somebody.
Yeah,
we'll
who can? Look, Westbrook is light skinned, dude. Come on.
Yeah, no,
is he though?
Way lighter than KD.
He's like
he's
literally,
not Steph.
Like, he's
though.
Literally right in the middle
can,
of
yeah,
Steph
yeah, you
KD.
Can see it.
Like
Steph is white. Steph is white. I'm darker skinned than Steph. Steph yeah. is a very light skinned guy.
Oh gosh!
I mean, is his mom's not mixed, right? Is she mixed?
No.
She's just really like
Creole or something.
Yeah, they're both black parents. Yeah.
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 Light skin.
Hottest NBA mom in history.
Oh, by far.
I don't understand how nobody's Delonte Wested Steph Curry's mom. You better take that shot. You better shoot your shot.
Wow.
Listen, I peeped games since Davidson, though.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
The stands.
They were like, I remember when they had that Final Four run, and I was like, yeah, this is Del Curry's son, Steph. And I'm like, oh, damn, that was nice. Yeah. And then they zoomed in on Del, and they was like, Del and his wife? I'm like, yes,
role players always get the hottest wives. I don't know what it is.
Go look at Sonya Curry's feet. She needed to do a Sonya Curry feet immediately.
Oh, man.
That's disrespectful. When you got kids, I don't need to see your feet when you got kids.
I need to see your feet because, come on now.
You know what them feet have been through.
Yeah, we do. A lovely life that Del Curry provided. That's what those feet have been through.
Oh,
all right, man. All right. What about Kyrie telling a fan to suck his dick?
It's great.
Yeah.
First of all, why can't
NBA players should tell more fans? Yeah.
Okay, so this is all I'm trying to understand. Okay, so for people who don't understand what happened, he's walking after the game. He's walking out of the stadium, not even out of the stadium, walking off the court, and somebody yells at him, "Hey, where's LeBron? Or how about LeBron?" Mm-hmm. Somebody just yells, and he goes, "Suck my dick." And apparently, he had to apologize.
He didn't take it. He didn't apologize.
Oh.
He said he didn't. He doesn't regret it.
Okay.
But he did apologize. He just said he didn't regret doing it.
Sure. Okay. So he apologized. He doesn't regret. Point is, why can't NBA players respond to fans?
I don't know.
No, they should be able to.
Yeah.
At least respond. Maybe you don't point out someone in the crowd and go, suck my dick. But if somebody in the crowd is talking shit to you, like, you
imagine
just come
LeBron
on
just like dribbled the ball for like, hey, you, suck my dick.
You right there, suck it.
But, you know what it is, man? Like, I get it. Like, you're an NBA player. You get paid all these millions of dollars to play a sport. And, like, I guess this is some of the responsibilities you have to take on, you know, that you can't just respond to everything, right? You can't, you know. I mean, you can, but you run the risk of losing endorsements, paying fines, all this other stuff.
That's right. So there's endorsements, there's fines that you could possibly, because a brand doesn't want a player to be saying, suck my dick to fans.
Yeah, but my thing is, it's like,
fuck fans, man. Yeah. Fuck you. If you're going to say that to somebody's face who could beat the shit out of you and all he says is suck my dick, you got off lucky. Take it from a little dude with a big mouth. Pause. You do not get to talk shit if you can't back it up. And someone just says, fuck you. All right, cool. You won.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I do think he kind of overreacted a little bit. Like, it wasn't like he was like, yo, you're LeBron's bitch or nothing like that. He was just like, yo, where's LeBron?
Right.
And then, that escalated mad quickly.
Yeah. Like, that's what you could tell he's really sensitive about.
Super sensitive. I mean, think about it, dude. Like, you lost your sidekick in the first game. You know what I mean? Like, you lost against LeBron. You're 1-3
on LeBron.
Yeah, like you're 1-3 so far. Like you haven't, you know, Boston had all these high hopes for the season, and you know, maybe he's regretting it.
Bro, I'm telling you, Kyrie, Mamba mentality, fucking garter snake physicality. He's just not good enough. He's just not good enough.
He's really good.
He's really good, but he's not Mamba good.
But who is? Who is, man? Like, Kobe
not a
is...
lot of people. I get that. But I just don't think he's... I think he's just going to learn a harsh reality.
No, look, okay, well, fine. At least he gets to learn it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm supportive of that. Like, find out what you're made of. I think it's cool, and I admire him for doing it. I mean, you get the ring, and now you go out and see if you can do it on your own.
I'm going to throw out a hot take.
Okay, go.
Right now. I think Mamba mentality is overrated.
Wow.
Elaborate.
I think it's overrated. Because people talk about Kobe's career in chapters, right? It's like... He came into the league as this young hotshot rookie in high school. Then he won a couple championships. And then he won some other championships with Pau Gasol. And nobody talks about those years where the Lakers were terrible.
Okay.
Right.
Terrible.
Right.
He was putting up monster numbers, but it was they were terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this is Kyrie's
terrible.
Terrible, but great. Laker years.
Okay.
Where, you know, Kobe was averaging 35. Like, he was the first person to average over 30 in the NBA and didn't win MVP. Like, he averaged like 30. No, first person to average over 34 a game.
And didn't
win.
And
didn't win MVP. Nash, lost to Steve Nash, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what is Mamba mentality really? You know what I mean? Like, you never really won a champ. Like, if championships are the ultimate goal, like, you never really did it on your own. Like, right. You would never really, like...
Well, you never win it on your own. Jordan Nobody never won does. It on his own, fair. Nobody, but get credit as the best player on the team.
But you talk to Kobe stans, right. And you talk to...
I don't ever want to talk to Kobe stans.
The worst, God,
I fucking hate Kobe stans. There was a clip on... It was probably House of Highlights. Shout out to Omar. Of Kobe, like, just kicking around a soccer ball with you know, some young kid on Paris Saint-Germain or some young soccer player. Uh-huh. And I comment. I was like, the rest of the world is, because I like trolling the soccer fans, because they're so fucking sensitive. I go, the rest of the world is lucky our elite athletes don't play soccer. Right?
Which is facts, though.
True. It is facts. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
put LeBron in the goal, no one is scoring ever.
Yeah, not only that, like, take the best soccer player. Could he play in the NBA? No.
Never.
Ronaldo's not playing in the NBA. Messi is... definitely not playing in the NBA. He's 5'5". You know what I mean? You're basically took all the athletes that are malnourished and didn't get to 6'6", and then you divide and you found a sport for them. Okay? Real athletes found start at 6'6".
I'll go even this far, right? You can take the number one like high school prospect in the NBA and be like, yo, you can't play basketball anymore.
You
go
just
find
gotta
another
play
sport.
Soccer. Yeah.
You give him 4 years, he'll be an elite soccer player.
Absolutely.
Elite soccer player.
And there's all this nonsense. They're like, oh, it's all about stamina. They're running for 90 minutes straight. You're not running for 90 minutes straight.
I've been to soccer games.
You're just walking
people
around.
People just walking around.
All you're doing is fucking taking a stroll. The ball comes your way. They kick it around a little bit. Then you fall on the ground. Half the time you're laying down. Yeah. It's mostly laying. That's what. Have you ever gone to the Great Lawn in Central Park? That's all it is. It's no different than what Upper East Side white girls do from July to August. Okay, that's how you play soccer. This nonsense about, oh, they don't have the stamina. You could build stamina. You can't build 6'7".
You can't, exactly.
Okay? Like
48-inch verticals is not growing on trees. Dude.
Ronaldo can jump just as high as any NBA, but shut the fuck up.
Zero
okay?
chance.
Stop it.
Zero chance.
Stop it. Okay? I'm tired of listening. Ronaldo, you know, for all intents and purposes, I don't know if he's Down syndrome, but his eyes are very close to... to his nose. And if you're telling me if somebody with a hormonal, not hormonal, what is it? What are they missing? He's missing a chromosome. If somebody missing a chromosome could be the best soccer player in the entire world, I'm sorry, but I think I have a feeling that Russell Westbrook could be better than you if he was given a chance.
Had he chosen to play soccer. I mean, you're not going to get any disagreements from me, but I'm not going to go here and
I'm
slander
tired of
Ronaldo.
Putting this
bro.
on a pedestal.
I can't slander Ronaldo, man.
Why not?
Only because I've seen his wife and his cars.
First of all, I thought he doesn't have a wife. I thought he does.
Oh, whoever he's with,
he's Jeter, like, right?
Is he a Jeter?
My understanding is he picks women to put children in, then just takes them and then sends them off. Like he has like some handmade tail shit. Yeah,
He should. As most of our top athletes should be.
No, he's a legend, dude.
Like, why would you waste your elite sperm on one woman?
Yo,
pollinate the earth.
The world needs Ronaldo's sperm.
What's the difference between Antonio Cromartie Jr. and Ronaldo?
What is
planning?
Besides planning, but like on some real shit, he's like, you know, everybody deserves a seed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
take this elite sperm and pollinate the world with it so we can make more of you.
Exactly.
We need that.
I think athletes and geniuses, those should be the ones having kids. The rest of us should just kind of sit back for a while for the earth. I really believe
it. And that's what never happens neither. Like, it's the people that are like on welfare that like literally have kids just to keep more of
their bored.
Check. Yeah. Like, it's, if you go to like Wisconsin, like, you will, it's nothing to see somebody with like six kids and they're like under 35. State.
Yeah, I like that.
Damn right,
that
I was picking white state.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that shit.
I see it.
Sorry. Sometimes racism works in your favor. You know? But yeah, man, Ronaldo is like the one elite soccer athlete, I would say. Like, yeah, like, okay, you get a pass.
There's a few of you, but none of you are playing in the league.
No.
I'm sorry. You don't have the height.
They're not freaks. They're not,
you're not freak athletes. Mm-hmm.
The biggest freak athletes are NFL players, I think.
No, NBA.
I think NBA.
NBA by far.
I think
NBA by far.
To be that big, monstrously big. Think about like a linebacker.
NFL?
Yeah. Think about like a line. Like Ray Lewis, to be that fast, that big, that strong, it's inhuman. These are the monstars.
No, the monstars are the guys who are 7 feet and can move like they're 5'10".
And the best
Giannis
thing about-
is a monster.
No, yes. I think he is. But I think the biggest freaks, generally speaking, are NFL players.
What is your argument for that?
They're, think about a line
and speed?
Yes.
So you have
and,
to prove to
strength.
Me you have to prove to me that they're faster than an NBA player. I don't think they are. You have
I
to prove
think,
to me that that 6'6 guy is faster than Kobe was.
But you got to think like this.
A linebacker is not that much slower than Kobe, and he's infinitely stronger.
I think if Kobe played defensive line, which that's probably what he would be like
Kobe?
A monster
Kobe?
Defensive
line. I think
line,
Kobe'd be
there's
like a
zero
end.
Chance Kobe could be heavy enough to play defensive line.
He just put the bulk on. Just put on weight.
I think he's fast enough to do that.
Yes. Kobe would probably play tight end.
Okay, tight end. Nobody's defending him.
You think Gronk?
You think Gronk?
He would get broke. Gronk gets broken.
Okay.
Kobe weighs what, 60, 70 pounds less than Gronk?
Mm.
Okay, but you can put on weight.
No, these guys cannot put on that much weight.
So you're making an argument. Your argument is you can't put on weight.
Not that much. Not muscle?
Have you been to America?
Not that muscle. Not that muscle. Muscle.
Of course you can put on muscle.
Oh,
that's the easiest thing to do is put on weight.
That's the craziest shit you've ever seen.
Okay, so you think that these people are just genetically disposed to carry weight?
Yeah. Yeah, people are genetically disposed to carry weight differently. There's three body types.
Steroids.
Basketball player body types are just not built to put on muscle like that.
Steroids.
So explain Randy Moss.
Randy Moss is not, he's skinny. He's a receiver.
Yeah,
he's not going over, he's not a tight end.
He was the freak though.
He's not going over the middle. Not like that. Not like a tight end. He's not blocking.
Adios.
Kobe would have to block Ray Lewis. Kobe would have to block whoever James Harris.
And he'd be able to do it.
Zero chance.
He'd be able to do it.
Zero chance.
He'd absolutely be able to do it. This Ray Lewis not going nowhere.
No.
Ray Lewis going to stop running his tracks.
But I do think.
He's going to make Ray Lewis take a knee.
You would beat Jose Calderon before Kobe could block.
First of all, I'll beat Jose Calderon because the sun's going to rise tomorrow. It's not even a question whether I beat Jose Calderon. I'm disgusted that anybody could think differently about it. I'll fly to Cleveland right now and I'll play Jose Calderon.
Jose will shoot the lights off your face.
He's not going to get the ball to shoot it.
He shoot his
He's
ass
not going to get the ball to shoot it. That's what's going to happen.
What I do agree with is that, yes, NFL players are probably, you know, soccer isn't a contact sport. Basketball is not a contact sport. The thing that separates for me NBA and NFL is that the best NFL player can't play basketball, but I think the best NBA player could play football.
Because we know it's ready.
Because basketball to me takes more skill.
Real quick, just as an experiment, an experiment. Who is arguably the best, or at least top three best tight ends of our generation?
Gronk.
Jason Witten.
Jason Witten.
Respect.
And San Diego Chargers.
Antonio Gates. Yeah.
Did Antonio Gates play basketball in college?
Not at all.
Yes, he did. He played for Kent State.
Oh, he did play at Kent State.
He
did
not play football.
Play football.
So here is a guy who did not play a down of football.
I'm not talking about skill.
Let me just finish the point. Did not play a down of football in college, right? Plays basketball, doesn't get drafted. But he was very good. I liked him. He was like an oversized point guard. It was interesting to watch him play. but he plays basketball and he's good, but he's not good enough to get drafted. All of a sudden he wasn't tall enough, but all of a sudden he becomes arguably one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. So here is a decently skilled basketball player.
I'm not talking about skill. I'm not talking about skill. I'm just talking about who is a bigger freak.
But that's what NBA players are. They're so freak athletically so that you could transition them into other sports. If I could take NBA players.
Kylo Quinn could be in the NFL.
Son, easily.
Easily.
Dude, if I could take NBA players and turn them into boxers, they'd be easily be Vladimir Klitschko's and all these guys. Give them at 18. Give me them at 17. And I'll turn them into heavyweights. Guaranteed. No. It's the foot. It's the hand-eye coordination. The feet. I mean, it's unbelievable what some of these guys can do. And the reach. You're 7 feet.
Yeah.
Man. Imagine Giannis boxing.
Giannis. Can we talk about Giannis yes. for a little bit?
But just to finish this football conversation, the idea is transition. Can a soccer player play in the NBA? Probably not.
No, because they're not freakish enough.
Could a soccer player play in the NFL? Yeah.
I think so.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. I think soccer players could be punt returners. I think soccer players could be special teams, definitely.
You're also talking about guys who literally get killed on the field.
Yeah.
Like, they are killing their brain. Think about the level of impact you have to withstand, the toughness you have to have. Your body is, it's armor.
So you're saying there's something about NFL? I'm trying to understand your argument. Are you saying NFL players are built sturdier?
Everything about their genetics is insane. The size, the speed, the strength, the toughness, like the durability, all of it is insane.
So you think that durability is a genetic trait?
Yeah, I think not getting injured. I think that's a genetic trait.
Fair enough. I think because there's some players in the NBA that are just...
LeBron.
LeBron is a guy...
never gets hurt.
He just never gets hurt. Exactly.
And it is close, so I shouldn't have gotten that upset about it. I think NBAs, but...
All I'm saying is, transition of sports. Can soccer player play in the NFL? Yes. Can NFL player...
I would disagree.
I think you could find places for them, and I think you could. A free safety... Absolutely. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just have to teach them how to tackle.
You know, Steve Nash was a pretty good soccer player and one of the best point guards in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
that just goes to our point.
That it's facts. Easier to play.
I mean, if you're good at basketball, you could play
soccer. From PSG, the little fast dude with the hair, the Jordan.
Neymar.
Dude. Neymar. You don't think Neymar can be a great punt returner for somebody?
No. Neymar is...
You give him some pads?
Neymar weighs about as much as me, if not less.
That's how much punt returners weigh.
And he gets hurt playing soccer.
First off, Odell Beckham Jr. is not that huge. Like, I've stood next to him. He's like, 5'10"?
Right.
Maybe 190 pounds.
So here's
he's one of the best wide receivers in the league.
So here's my question. How do you know that these soccer players don't have the same durability? What is your metric to study that?
There's just no way they could withstand that comp.
What is your proof of that? Like,
there's just no way they could.
What is your proof?
I don't have proof.
So
because they don't ever play in the NFL.
Is it possible since we know that
I won't even entertain the notion.
Since we know that there are humans that can withstand it, that are durable enough, that play in the NFL, is it possible that there are some soccer players that could sustain that punishment?
No.
So, you're wrong. So we know that they can, we know that soccer players could possibly play in the NFL. Way more NFL players could play soccer, obviously. No soccer players almost could play in the NBA, and some NFL players could play.
But if soccer players can play basketball, doesn't that make soccer, by your argument?
Steve
Nash wasn't good enough to make it to any pro soccer leagues. He is one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Right, because he focused on basketball, not soccer.
I don't know, man. Could have made a lot of money playing soccer, too. We don't. Do you know that he decided to focus on basketball?
We know for a fact, because he chose to play basketball in college.
Maybe he's one good enough to play overseas.
Fair, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly. Look, we don't have to get too far into it. My point is, soccer's an easy sport, and it's an easy fucking sport.
Not an easy sport, guys.
It's an easy fucking sport, okay? Get over yourselves with this. You have stamina and that kind of nonsense. We're still going to watch it. It's fun. It sucks that America is in the World Cup, but that being said... And if you took the NBA, you took every player in the NBA and you tried to make them learn how to play soccer, there'd be a lot of soccer players that would be out of jobs. That's a fact. So you're welcome that some of you soccer players still have jobs because we have the game that's called basketball that we get to play.
Speaking of basketball.
Thank you.
Our all too early NBA awards.
Oh, I'm with this.
Let's do it.
Okay, go.
What are we starting with?
MVP.
MVP?
Or do you want to talk about Giannis?
That's MVP,
that's
right?
MVP. That's my pick.
Giannis.
And I called this before he played his first game this season. You can look at my tweets. I said, Giannis is winning MVP this year, right? When he learns how to shoot a jump shot, he is going to be Kevin Durant on steroids.
Yeah.
On steroids. That dude, He has a glide to the hoop that I've never seen with it. Like, not even LeBron. Like, LeBron's kind of like a brutish type of dude.
Yeah.
When he gets to the rim, whatever. Like, Giannis has this strange, like, Julius Irving type of glide to the rim that he gets every single time that I've never seen anybody like him. Like, ever. Like, he's the Nigerian freak. I don't call him the Greek freak. He's fully 100% Nigerian.
Is he?
And yes.
Yeah. When did he go to Greece?
I don't know. I think like they went there when they were like five. But like his Antetokounmpo was like his last name is really Adetokounmpo. But when
Adetokounmpo,
yeah, which is also my middle name, and it's a very common Nigerian surname.
What does it mean? Give me your credit card information.
Fuck you. Andrew.
What is it? No. What does it mean?
I really don't know. I know my first name means baby of the family. I forgot what my middle name is. I gotta ask my mom.
All right.
But yeah, no, like just the way he's his progression every single season. Like
it's
his
crazy.
His first year, he looked like. Like most European dudes, like soft, like he's not gonna fill out, like all these hundreds of like super long dudes that people get drafted from out of nowhere that you're like, okay, this guy's probably gonna be in his club team overseas for years, and
Chinese player,
like every Chinese player, like every guy that like Popovich drafts, like you'll stash him for a couple years, maybe he comes back, maybe he like spells you as a sixth or seventh man or whatever.
Yeah.
This dude isn't just like doing this against anybody. Like he's doing this against the LeBron James of the world.
Yep.
He's doing this against like the Wizards and the Raptors and like these teams that are out to literally stop him. And mind you, don't have Jabari Parker. So like everybody is geared to stop him. And not only is he scoring and averaging what like 36 a game so far.
It's stupid.
He's not taking any threes. He's shooting like 60% from the field, like some wildly high percentage. Like he doesn't take any shots that he knows he cannot make.
Yeah.
Right. When he learns how to shoot a three-pointer, what are you going to do with him?
It's a tricky thing because you can't play up on him.
No.
There's you nothing
have
you
to
can
let
do.
Him shoot.
There's
you,
nothing you can
and
do.
And you still can't play up on him. Like
It's one
that
step.
One step he gets to the rim and like even if you stop him at the free throw line, he's reaching out.
I mean, that's the scariest thing is watching him finish from distance. Like,
no, it's crazy.
His full extension.
It's like the last scene in Space Jam.
It's exactly what it is.
It's crazy.
It's exactly what it's it crazy. Is, dude. Like, just look at his freaking arms, dog. Like, this shit.
Can I just complain as a Mavs fan? Y'all complain as Knicks fans?
Yeah, yeah.
The Spurs have been great for like 25 years, right? Had this great rivalry with the Mavericks. The entire difference in the organizations now is that when he came out, Giannis... The Mavs president, Donnie Nelson, was pounding the table for Giannis. He was like, same dude that found Dirk. He was like, this dude is going to be something. And Mark Cuban was like, yo, let's save money. I want to try to sign all these free agents. We're trading back to save like $100,000 in salary cap money or whatever it was. Mm. And they took fucking Shane Larkin instead of Giannis.
Oh.
And that is the entire difference.
I like Shane Larkin too, man. That's my guy.
He ain't Giannis.
But he ain't no Giannis.
No, he's not.
He ain't no Giannis.
No, this is, Giannis is unbelievable.
He's different.
He made LeBron look not that freakish on the court
At what point do we start assuming that like LeBron and Giannis are superhumans?
They are.
I mean, honestly, like the he is
like, is this the next step?
They won.
Are we looking?
Yes.
Like, are we looking at the next like, step of evolution? Like, is this the future? No, I'm being serious. Like,
yes.
Literally, I mean, you know, there was a point in time where maybe humans were a little bit smaller, right? Mm-hmm. You'll look at all these like images of our bodies back in the day, and we're only like 5'3".
Like
the
average
guy
was like 5'8".
Even tinier, dude. Yeah. Like, and then all of a sudden we start growing, and there are these exceptionally tall people, and they create more often this and that. We have a couple people who
it's like X-Men when like every dude, couple of years they, evolution like, leaps forward.
and especially I don't know Giannis's. I don't know how Giannis is, I don't know his like how his brain works, but like when you hear LeBron, like LeBron's got that like Bill Russell, like almost freak, beautiful mind brain.
Yeah.
Like he'll be in an interview and somebody was like,
memory.
He says a photographic memory, but he'll be in an interview and like the woman will be like, yeah, there was that time when you were with Miami when, you threw that lob to Dwayne. He'll be like, September 22nd, 9 p.m. Like he just turns into this robot. But, I'm looking at LeBron and we get caught up in the athleticism a lot of times, but I'm like, wait a minute. Is this guy the next step?
Oh no, LeBron.
Are we looking at the next step of fucking? fucking humanity, dude? Like a super genius that's six,
that's a freakish
that's 6'9" yeah. that can't get injured. You know, like, come on. Like, I know, I know. Like,
the thing that freaked me out the most was after the first game of the year when LeBron had like nearly a triple double, 30 points, yeah. all this other stuff.
I'm out of
he's
shape.
On a bad ankle. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm just in really out of shape and da da da. Like, and he's like reeling off his like, mind you. He's not reading from his stat sheet. Like, he's reeling off his stats as he's playing them. I'm like, how the...
My plus minus was 75. Da, 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 da. There was a friend of ours who had a... Alex Anderson had a stand-up joke about... what was it? It was about superheroes.
Uh-huh.
And the joke was, there's no... he goes, people say, oh, where are the black superheroes? There's no black superheroes. And his joke was, have you ever seen SportsCenter? Right? And that kind of was a joke. But... I'm wondering if we're looking at super, like, I don't know Porzingis. I don't know Porzingis' brain, but I'm watching Porzingis and I'm like, is this a superhero?
You know,
are we looking at these fucking guys, the Avengers?
All, they
dude?
All won the genetics lotto.
Yeah,
maybe that's
a winning genetics lotto ticket.
Yeah, you know what it is?
One
it's
in
like,
a billion.
But every couple of years, there's like transcendent players where it's like, okay. This is what we need to win games, right? Okay. Like when Michael Jordan came, everyone's like, okay, we need a shooting guard that could do this, this, that, and the third. That's what we got, like the Tracy McGrady's, the Kobe Bryant's, the all those type of guys. Yeah. Then you have LeBron coming, who's like the 6'8" dude who does everything, and it's like, okay, you know, we need to make more of these guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now you have like Giannis's, which are the unicorns of the NBA, which is like 7-footers who can shoot, dribble, do everything.
He's a
play
great
defense,
passer too. Holy
great passer.
Fuck, he got some dimes.
It's like him, Embiid, Porzingis, Kawhi, even for you know, for somebody a little shorter, but like these guys who literally have no weakness, and you're just waiting for them to get like that extra thing. When I say, like, okay, like what do you do when Porzingis gets stronger? What do you do when this guy figures out how to shoot? What do you got when Embiid? What do you get when Embiid like could, you know, be fully healthy?
You know, I was wondering.
That's the thing with Embiid. I just can't put him on there because I think he's injury prone.
Skill wise,
Samuel Jackson,
Karl-Anthony Towns.
It's another guy like 7-footer does everything. Like moves like he's 6 feet.
The thing with Towns and the thing with I mean, Embiid's got the touch and he's got the skills, but it's not as impressive to me athleticism as Giannis.
He lacks the grace
or LeBron and even to a certain extent Porzingis. It's Porzingis's touch is very similar to Embiid's touch, but he seems so frail. Every time Embiid jumps, I feel like his feet are going to stay on the ground.
Yeah,
I feel like he's just going to jump out of his own feet. It's just there's something there where it's unsettling. And a little bit Porzingis as well.
Like, like when Porzingis goes to the ground, like my heart stops.
Yeah, you're like, what happened?
I'm like, fuck,
is it over?
Fuck,
yeah.
You know?
Giannis, I'm never concerned. LeBron,
for one, he's so graceful too.
Yeah.
Mm. Like he looks like when he's going to the rim and like about to dunk on like three people. You can literally probably frame it up, like if you're like a video editor and frame it up with like people on the court and him by himself in the gym, and there's probably no difference. Like he's literally just gliding like nobody's there and like you can't stop me. And the scariest thing about it is like now he knows nobody could stop him. Like when he's playing now, he lost his father this year and like he has like a whole, you could tell
he
just like the
MVP,
way.
Wants MVP.
Like he has like a different way. Like before he used to be very jokey and like very, you know, like. You know, he was a happy-go-lucky dude. This year, it's very different.
It's actually really nice and comforting to see him tell a horrible joke.
Yeah.
Like, you know that there's something you're better than him at. You know what I mean? Like,
so, he's not perfect.
Yeah, he's a perfect
it's also
human.
Probably he's like third language English.
Yeah, that's true. But he's telling like some stupid knock-knock joke and he like butchers it. And it's like, okay, I got something on the guy. Thank God. All right. Holy shit. Fuck.
I'm also impressed with his, like, he's about the same dimensions as KD, right?
Yeah.
But somehow he seems longer. He's got more weight on him. He's stronger.
Yeah, he's stronger.
It's
stronger.
I just don't. When KD said he could be the greatest ever, at first I was like, eh. Yeah. And now I'm like, I don't think so, but yeah, maybe.
He's not even. Look,
he's
22. There are rookies that were drafted this year that he's younger than.
It's so crazy.
Think about that.
So crazy.
It's ridiculous. Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. I think I'm going with Zoe.
You're a big baller, Brand.
Yeah,
I'm big
you
baller,
Triple B's.
Let me tell you something, man. First of all, I got immense respect for LeVar.
Yes.
But I mean, Zoe had
I
don't know if this is by design or not. I tend to give people credit for things that happen and then prove me wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give LeVar credit, but it's It's pretty amazing to see what he does. It's almost Trump-esque in a way, right?
Like, yeah.
I think Trump, Kanye,
these guys are all cut from the same cloth, and they always win.
Yeah, there's a very similar style to Trump, which is if he plays poorly, LeVar opens up his mouth, starts yapping, and then takes the conversation away from his son playing shitty, and it puts it on him, right? If he plays well, he goes, yeah, well, that's what my boy does. My boy plays...
And you notice you never hear from him when he's balling. You always hear from LeVar when, like, he has a bad game. He's the first one to step up, like, yeah, you know, whatever. He had a bad game. He still had 9 rebounds. Still had this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. When he damn near dropped the triple-double on Phoenix, not a word from LeVar.
Quiet. What I got to say? What I got to say?
Didn't he say we're going to win 50 after that game?
Did he? Oh, I don't know.
Well, he's been saying for a minute, but I just love the design of it. And to be honest, I got to give tons of credit to Zoe, man.
Yeah. He puts
this
up
dude
a lot, dog.
First of all, articulate, composed. Mm-hmm. Beverly was trying to get in his head. I didn't see him sweating it one bit. No. Did he have a great game against Beverly? No, but he knew what Beverly was trying to do, and a young rookie would try to go at him, fight him, and try to get maybe get
but
out of his
game. He only took, like, what, like 6 shots that game?
A few shots.
Which is smart, though. Which is like, all right, well, like, he plays a very mature game.
Think about it. That's right. I have a great defender on me. What is the percentage? Sorry. Is me taking a shot going to be higher than the mismatch on my team? I'll get the ball to the mismatch and we'll try to score that way.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is if Zoe ends up being as good as LeVar thinks he is, and LeVar is hedging his bets on that. LeVar, people are making this argument, oh, well, you're putting a target on his back. He's the number 2 pick.
Yeah. He's going to be targeted regardless.
And first of all, do you think NBA players just decide not to play defense?
Sometimes.
But you don't
want to give up.
Bullets is hard material.
Exactly.
I watch Baker on the Knicks try to bring the ball up the court every single play. Mm. Okay? The guy can barely get it across the court. Raymond Felton is playing swarming defense on Baker, stripping him almost every single time he brings it up. Now, Baker isn't a number 2 pick with a boisterous father. Mm. He's just a guy that looks like food.
Yeah.
Right? So if NBA players, he looks like food. So if NBA players see food, they're going
to
eat.
See him coming to the
eat. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So this idea, like, that all these players would be playing him so much less effectively or with so much less aggression, I don't subscribe to at all. Mm-hmm. And let's say they didn't have a target on his back. Let's say he didn't have a target on his back. And let's say he started to ball. Yeah. You know what that causes?
What?
You to get a fucking target on your back.
Exactly.
So it's absurd logic. It's
I'm not the biggest LeVar fan. I don't hate him. I respect Triple B. Good for you. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it is all for his kids, I just think he enjoys the spotlight a lot. And sure. I'm just not really with that when parents do that to their kids. That's just not
me. I mean, I don't think it's for him, but I feel like it's one of those things where, like you said, like putting a target on the guy's back, and it's like, if you're raising and you say up and down, like, why not? Why can't Alonzo be better than Jordan? Why can't saying all these outlandish things? Like, this is how you do it.
Well,
it's
and
like,
he's making a ton of money because everybody talks about it. That's why I don't want to talk about it that much. Yeah, same thing with Trump, same thing with Yay.
And he's created an interesting dynamic that's very similar to Trump where people hate Zoe because they hate LeVar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? I remember Zoe went to the basket on Anthony Davis the other day. I thought he made a nice move in transition, tried to finish with the left. He threw a shoulder into Anthony Davis.
Got it punched.
And Davis punched it, right? Yeah. Which is fair. How often are you even in practice going up against a guy like Anthony Davis, right? Mm-hmm. So, but
who's
that being
another
said,
one of those freak athletes?
Who's another one of those freak athletes, yeah, right? Yeah. A little injury prone, but another one of those. Mm-hmm. But after the block, does he talk shit to Zoe? No, he stares at LeVar in the crowd. This is a peculiar thing.
I don't think it's peculiar. You know what? I just think it's fun, man.
Look, it's fun.
I just think
it's
cool.
Fun.
I think NBA players get a kick out of this whole thing.
Sure. Okay.
Like, when's the last time a rookie came into the NBA with so much, like,
LeBron,
oh, he's in
maybe?
Town. Bro, I said this weeks ago. I'm like, yo, not for nothing. Like, he's not LeBron in, like, the body type and the hype and, like, the game and everything like that. But, like,
no, he's LeBron in the hype and the.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I mean, I'm at height, like, tall. I can't remember the last time a rookie got this much attention.
Summer League was popping because of LeVar Ball.
Dude, Summer League sold out.
Yes.
Because of LeVar Ball.
They had to move it out of the original gym and put it in the full Thomas and Mac.
Well, they always do.
Oh, they do. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that.
And I get,
but it was lit regardless. Yeah.
But think about that. To sell out a summer league game is insane.
Yeah. I get the brilliance of LeVar.
With,
I'm
like,
just not really
players
with
who
it.
Won't make the team
at all. They're just there. I mean, it's a cool experience for them. It was like when Jordan was playing for the baseball team. It's like they get sold out stadiums. Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm just so I just, first of all, and from what I've read and done a little research, his plus minus is pretty awful.
Okay.
That being said, when you're putting up close to triple doubles, and I don't really care that much about points, mm-hmm. 13 assists when you get 11 it's boards so for a 6'5 guard, yeah. This is exciting
it's
stuff.
Very, it's Jason Kidd, but I don't remember Jason Kidd in his rookie year putting up 30.
No.
Dude, of course he wasn't putting up 30. Not at all. And I don't know, man. I think we undervalued his athleticism. I don't think you got to see the athleticism.
Really, the dude could fly.
Bro.
Yeah, I undervalued it too.
Bro.
You know? And one thing with Lonzo is he plays the type of game that people are going to want to play with him.
I was going to say the same thing. Teammates yes. love him because yeah. he wants to dish.
Yeah.
Right? Like D'Lo. Shout out to D'Lo. He's actually playing well. He's playing well for the Nets. And I like to, he's actually starting to distribute a little bit more, which is interesting. But like D'Lo was trying to get his. LeVar's natural. LeVar, look at me making a mistake. but Zoe's natural disposition is to share the rock.
Yeah.
And teammates love a motherfucker.
They say a great player makes everybody around him better.
Facts.
That's the nature of his game.
Yeah.
Now, he's not my rookie of the year. Is he yours?
No.
Who's your rookie of the year?
I got Benjamin Simmons.
That's what I got.
From Philly. Oh, Benjamin.
Yeah. Benjamin. Big Benjamin.
The good Benjamin.
Simmons.
Now explain why Benjamin over Zoe or anybody else.
Well, I think Ben's more complete right now than Lonzo is. Lonzo's definitely a much better shooter.
Okay.
But I do think Ben has that same innate quality that Lonzo has to get people involved that you're gonna want to play with him.
Yeah.
He's gonna get he's gonna get 10 rebounds in his sleep because he's 6'10, built like a house, whatever. Yes. But he's super light on his feet, runs like a deer.
Yes.
Makes amazing court vision. LeBron like court vision for a guy that big.
Weirdly LeBron-like.
Very LeBron-like. Very LeBron-like. As far as, like, when he first got into the league, LeBron wasn't, like, a great three-point shooter either. Mm. He's not a great shooter either yet.
The game just seems
easy. It looks easy to him. And that's what makes him so fun to watch, because it's like, you know, you got this other guy, Embiid, who's, like, a freak in his own right, who could score the ball and everything. And he's making it that much easier for him. And it's like, dude, if he could... I think even if he doesn't develop a jump shot, just the fact that you're a 6'10 legit point guard, you could play 10, 12, 15 years in the league and probably never need a jumper.
So here's my question. Who guards him?
I don't know.
That's why he's so good.
Do threes guard him?
That's why he's so good. It's like
Jay Crowder, maybe.
Jay's
I don't know if he's quick enough.
He's not quick.
There's no way.
And that's why he's such a mismatch.
He's another freak. We left him off the list.
You know why he's a matchup nightmare? Because fours aren't going to want to run with him.
Nah.
You think Melo's going to want to chase him up and down the court? There's no fucking way. And he's too big for these threes.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see him do is not necessarily develop the jumper, develop a post game.
Yeah.
That's how you could get away with not having a jumper.
That's what I saw a lot in the Wizards game when he put up that 20, 10, and 5 in his first game. Mm. It was all in the paint. And it's like, because they sent guards after him. They're like, okay, like we got to keep up with him. He's like,
Feed me, dog. Let's go.
Boards, I'm going to get these right here.
This is a weird person to make a comparison to, but I'm a huge Marcus Smart fan. I just love the hustle and I love
Marcus
the game. I just love him on my team. I don't care if he's the eighth person that comes into the game. I don't care where he is, but I want him on my team because I think he sets a precedent for everybody else in terms of work, right?
Yeah.
But what I loved about Smart is when they were playing against Cleveland, they put Korver on him, and that shit was a snack.
He
gobbled that shit up. Yeah. I mean, Scooby snacks all day. It was three straight possessions. Give it to me in a post. He bullied him.
Buckets every time.
Every time. But it's interesting to see someone go, okay, look, I'm not going to be a great shooter. Maybe I'll be able to hit, but I'm a big guard to handle.
Yeah. I'm a load
to handle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got other guys on my team that you're gonna need to put your main defenders on. Mm-hmm. So if you give me some food like Kyle, I'm gonna eat.
So that's why I took him over Zoe, because I think he's got Zoe's brains, Zoe's ability to make everybody around him better. He can run the point, but he's just more freakish.
And you can't teach 6'10, 250.
Yeah.
You can't. You know what I mean? So
well, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to, I think that they could have similar trajectories in terms of their team's success.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? It's up in the air right now. We don't know what the Lakers are going to do, and we don't know what Philly's going
to
do.
Especially if Markelle Fultz continues to stink.
Poor Markelle. poor Markelle Fultz.
Defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year. I am going to go, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Porzingis.
Mm.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yo, you know what's hilarious?
I'm gonna tell you what.
Al tried to search Porzingis and Pornhub came up first. One thing I got by
it's all good.
Shout out to the video.
You catch everything.
Shout out to the video. Let's go.
When you try to go to Bleacher Report Kansas, does Bang Bros come up first?
I'm not a Bang Bros guy.
Bro,
X videos though.
You know what's funny with me? If you type in PO, it's not Pornhub, it's like podiatry. This is straight foot pics all day, baby. I want to know about all your metacarsals or whatever metatarsals, whatever it is.
This is why Knicks fandom probably creeping up on me again. And yeah, I don't think.
Dude, Porzingis looks like a shaved cat. Look at this picture.
So here's the thing.
That man
right?
look like a thumb.
And this is.
He does have a finger ass look to him. Like a cartoon where fingers were people.
This is before he discovered New York barbers, you can tell.
Exactly. Like, this shit is straight from Lithuania.
Right. He's like, put the ball on head and shave.
That's funny. I'll take a 6 over here and a 4 over here. In communist Lithuania, you get one number. One number per person. This 2. 2 shave number per every person on team. Please get the boss head and go back for the layup practice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yo, this guy. Right. No, okay, go. Defensive player of the year. Long hair gets in way of defense. Long hair gets in way of defense. You want to block shot? How can you block shot with block eyes? Please let me shave your hair away from your face.
So first of all, Draymond Green won Defensive Player of the Year, right? And it's really hard for people to win that back-to-back unless, like, you're a big, you know, Ben Wallace type, you know, shot-blocking extraordinaire where, like, you just can't be denied, right?
Right.
So Kawhi got one, Draymond got one, Anthony Davis got one. Mm-hmm. I think Porzingis, with the plethora of centers on their team and his ability, or not ability, but like he's expressed that, like, yo, I'm not a center, I'm playing the 4, you know, that's where I'm staying at. He's gonna average 2 to 3 blocks this year.
Easy.
Like easily. And he's gonna have to guard a lot of those, you know, those freaks that we were talking about, those Giannises, those Anthony Davises, those guys. So if he even shows certain games where he is locking those guys down and he's the main man now, and he's going out and said, like, I want to be Defensive Player of the Year, I don't see why he doesn't get it.
You make an interesting argument, because a lot of getting blocked shot is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you're guarding guys who are shooting 20, 25 shots a game, mm-hmm. you have more opportunities to block shots. If you're guarding, you know, Brooke Lopez,
yeah.
you have 6 shots a game to block a shot, right? Yeah. That's interesting. Giannis is going to put up 25.
Yeah.
You know, Melo's going to put up 20.
Yeah. He's going to, 7'6" or however tall he is now, like, he's getting 2 or 3 blocks in his sleep.
Easy. That's
easily,
like.
Easily. Hmm. Especially as, even if, like, you know, you got Enes Kanter, who is not the best defensive big man or whatever.
Right.
You know, he's going to be a lot. He's going to be a lot of help side blocks. He's going to come over and just snatch. You know what I mean? And get those out of there. So a lot of people don't. And here's another thing with, like, NBA writers and people who, like, vote on this type of stuff. A lot of people don't really watch defense like that.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you're a Ron Artest once in a lifetime, like, I'm in your chest every game type of dude. Or maybe Pat Beverly might steal a few votes or something like that. But, like, we like guys who just swatch it.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
he's gonna swat a lot of shots this year.
We need metrics.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like,
the block,
you know,
is a metric we could go by. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same,
okay,
same.
Akash.
So that's
I think my prediction is Kawhi. I just think he's a great defender when he's back. You know who I think could also win it, though? Giannis could win it.
Giannis could win it.
Just to talk about the Kawhi, did you guys see the video of Kawhi getting into the airplane?
No.
And gingerly walking into the airplane?
Uh-oh.
Like, he was, you know, when you go up the steps.
I had him on a fantasy team. He's been day-to-day ever since I drafted him.
Him playing very soon is definitely a fantasy. I'll tell you that much. he's walking up a step, and he's doing that thing where it's, you take a step and then you meet at the next step.
Ooh.
You take a step and then you meet
like
at the next step.
He's not going step by step.
He's not going one,
it's
two,
like
one,
left,
two.
One step, one
exactly.
step. Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it is, and what is it? I forgot exactly what it is. A quadricep tenor something is.
Oh, it's a quad tear.
It's a condition, though, that, like, he just has.
Yeah.
It's not like an injury. It's a thing.
What is it?
Boy.
Quad. Do we have it?
Yeah, no, that's it right there. That is.
No, it's May 17th. This is 3 days.
It's this one right here. No, go back. We're watching. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, so let's watch the video.
Oh,
right,
dude,
here.
You can even see him grimacing in his face.
Oh, watch, and he waves.
Tendinopathy.
There it is. It is quadricep tendinopathy. look at this. That's not good.
That is not
good. That is not good. That's like a graduation walk.
He looks like he got injured last week. When was the last time he played?
Bro.
This is the same. This is the same Zaza injury from the finals.
No, that's an ankle. This is an issue or condition that he might have.
He's just gonna have this.
He looks like he's like his face.
Yeah. Now, who knows? He could have come right from therapy. He could have come right from work, and then maybe they're really getting into the muscles or something like that. And he's a little sore. We don't know exactly what's going on. That being said, that is, if I'm a Spurs fan, word, that is no bueno, my dog.
Word. I'm nervous. I'm gonna have to trade him on my fantasy team. Not for nothing.
Oh yeah, you got to get
some
him
value
out
of him.
Get him out the paint. All right,
you got
defensive player of the year. That is a great question. Defensive player of the year. I think I like Giannis as well, man. Mm. I think he's just going to do too much. It's just going to do too much. Imagine him as a help defender.
Yeah.
It's just too fast.
Yeah,
it's
too, like, long. You can't get by him.
There's too much for him to do on the court.
Yeah, you need to keep him out on the three-point line. I think you really need a situation where, like, he has to guard a guy. I mean, it's insane.
What do you do with that?
It's insane.
I mean, he can go down in an entire...
Kaz is asking for a picture of him shirtless.
This one right here? This one with the wingspan?
That's impressive.
But
what the fuck do you do with that?
Here's the reality of the matter. Is you get to a certain level of Diesel where it's appropriate to look at it. And he is...
That's what I'm saying. I'm good with it.
Absolutely appropriate to look at. This man is 7 feet tall. What happens if he hits on your girl in front of you?
Oh, God.
I'd be upset if my girl didn't at least entertain the idea. You know what I mean? Like, man, that's the Greek freak.
That's right.
What you doing? Have some respect.
For real. Oh, get him to sign a jersey. Anyway, man, it's I think Giannis. And I think if anything, just help defense. I mean, you have a situation where maybe you get him to guard a guy like Kevin Love and just keep him out on 3-point line. You say, Kevin, don't you dare step in the paint. Mm. Keep him stretched out there. But even him closing out, it's one step.
Yeah. Mm. That's what even if he's slow on his feet, it doesn't matter because his step is so big.
That's it. It's one step. Yeah. It's scary, man.
He could get both Defensive Player of the Year and MVP.
And MVP.
I think they wouldn't just cuz, but he's capable of doing both.
I mean, if not, then it's going to be Draymond. And I think, you know, I criticize Draymond a lot, but I would love him if he was on my team, I'm sure. And he is an undeniable defender.
Yeah.
You know, it's really amazing what he's able to do defense. It's amazing what he does for the Warriors. When he's not in the game, they really fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the heart and soul of that defense.
He's their playmaker.
He's
not their point guard, but he's their playmaker.
He's their playmaker, heart and soul to defense, and he's their toughness factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are pussy.
They give them a swagger.
They have no edge without him.
Yo, did you see that little interaction with him and DeMarcus?
Yeah.
Who wins that fight, B? That's when I would pay for.
I love Draymond, but I don't know.
Boogie legit crazy.
Saginaw is pretty rough.
Dog.
Saginaw, Michigan's very rough.
Dog, I think Draymond might have him.
Let me tell you why
I think Draymond might got it, because he used to be fat.
This is true.
So Draymond got a whole different, like... When you're, okay, here it is. Bigs are always sensitive, right? Because nobody has ever picked on them. Because they're big, right? Like, you look at Shaq, right? Barkley says one thing. Well, I don't really disagree. And then immediately Shaq's like, you ain't got any rings.
Yeah.
You ain't got no rings. Why you disagree with me? I can't handle that. So he immediately reverts this, like, real defensiveness. I think that when you're a big, but you're also fat, you get teased a little bit more.
Yeah. Why Kevin Love so soft?
Say what?
Why is Kevin Love so soft?
What you mean?
Kevin Love, mad soft. He's
Kevin
be
Love
fat.
Used to be real fat.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, you? He's tough?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's soft.
Said, why is he so soft?
Because he's fat.
No, not anymore. A fat guy that lost weight, still soft. Draymond Green, your whole point is he's fat, but he lost weight, so he's tough. And he's got thick skin, right?
No, he's been through it more than a guy like Boogie.
Okay.
Like, he's been teased for being fat. Nobody teased Boogie, right? Boogie's 7 feet tall, bad motherfucker. Okay. You know what I mean? You're not going to say shit. This guy, Draymond's 6'9", but he was thick. So you're going to get a couple ribs here, there, whatever. I mean, if you notice, Drake can snap back.
Yeah.
Nah,
and you only learn how to snap back, like we always say, your personality's defense mechanism, right?
I'm a former fat kid. That's why I'm witty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You need to be teased to learn how to snap back. Boogie don't know how to snap back. That's why he fights.
You got to have a lot of lunchroom, those lunchroom table battles. Like, if you don't survive the lunchroom table battles with snapping on people, whether you're fat, you're ugly.
Yeah, this ain't
whatever.
A fucking joke contest, though. It's a fight.
Boogie ain't
weak, and he bigger, and he longer.
Mm-hmm.
I go Boogie.
What is it? What's the term? Kerr. You know, Draymond doesn't, he doesn't care. Is that the word I'm trying to think?
Oh, he doesn't care. Oh, he doesn't care.
Not care. Like, he's not a bitch. Like, there's a term called
cur.
He
skirt.
No, I'm not doing slang. Like, we had, what's his face on a podcast?
He doesn't cower?
Maybe he's just saying cower like that. What is it?
Cower.
I don't cur.
Like, he doesn't, like, back up.
What is Don Logan? What's Don Logan, the rapper?
Gunplay.
We had Gunplay on it. And he loved Gunplay. Yeah, Gunplay's character, man. He's so funny. And he was talking about when he, like, attacked 50 Cent in his crew at the BET Awards one time.
I was there. I remember that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we're like, why would you do it? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
But I don't think it was, whatever. It doesn't matter.
No, I'm telling you, that was this Florida accent. Like, he said, I don't care.
Yeah, but he's from New York.
Gunplay?
Yeah, he was from New York. And then they moved down to Florida.
Wait, I'm running super late. I have to leave. So can I do Coach of the Year real quick?
Yes, go for it.
Pop.
Of course,
Pop's gonna get it. Has already made LaMarcus Aldridge. Forget the last two shitty years that he had. Right. He made him functional. He's averaging like 26 a game. It's only 3-4 games, but to turn around that quickly. And he had the illest line, and this is why he's so dope. Mm-hmm. He said something like, my mistake was, he admitted his mistake first, and he said something like, I tried to teach him our system before I learned him. And that's just that's a great coach right there.
Man, that's such a play line. Pop is always good for a play ass line, though, man. Like, bro, he will sit there. I'd read a Craig Popovich quote book.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I would love to hear a Popovich, a book about leadership.
I always wish LeBron would go to San Antonio just to see. He's average 29 minutes a game and win a championship.
You don't want that. LeBron likes, it's hard when you got all the control. You know, it's hard to go from president to vice president. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's why I'd be very interested to see what would happen if Hillary won. Cause it's hard, like when you've already been in the White House as Bill, like you know what I'm saying, like you ain't gonna let somebody say you're not allowed in the Oval Office. It's like, bitch, get the fuck out the Oval Office.
I got head in this office.
No,
stuck cigars and pussies in this office.
Exactly.
You tell me I can't be in a meeting. Fuck out of here.
I get the fuck.
I gotta run though, bro.
All right, man. Best of luck at the thing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, bro. Do you want to plug it before you head out?
Yo, if you have a time machine, come to New York's Funniest Comics at Caroline's.
Kill that shit, Akash. Yes, we're gonna let everybody know how you do. All right, man. I think we're close to done. Is there anything else, Kaz? Anything else we gotta touch on?
Man, I think I'm good, bro. I think I'm good. I didn't get my Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year.
I mean, I who's gonna go against Pop, man? Like, Pop's a stone cold pimp, and he, even his Trump comments, like anytime you can get. And that's how you know he's a stone cold pimp, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really talk to the media unless he has something to say, mm-hmm. right? And anytime he makes his words count.
Mm-hmm.
So if he could even get past this Kawhi injury, make LaMarcus Aldridge bring back his Portland days and being like the all-star that he was. Mm. And to be fair, there's only literally maybe like four coaches in the running for Coach of the Year every year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Pop, it's Kerr. It's Tyronn Lue, and it's whoever takes the team that wins from the worst to the best.
Mm.
That's it, right? So if there's, I don't see any team making that much. Maybe Brad Stevens. Maybe Brad Stevens is in the mix if they,
especially since the Hayward
went down or whatever. Yeah. But like, they never really like Coach of the Year is such a weird award to get. Because it's like, how do you really judge it that isn't winning and losing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, unless you take a team from like 20 wins to like 50 wins.
It's a great point you're making.
You're only going to, it's only the same three or four guys that's going to win it.
Yeah, it's about expectation, Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Right? We think you're going to be decent and you've exceeded that expectation of decency. It's hard to give it to Ty Lue because we expect you to come out of the East,
mm-hmm.
right? Pop is in a situation where we don't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. You've got some injuries and, you know, you have an aging team. It's tricky. Yeah, I think Pop is a good one. I think
you don't really give it to Kerr because, like, of course they're going to win 70 games this year.
That's the expectation is so high. Exactly. You can't give it to him. Yeah, that's interesting. I think, I don't know. I think with Pop, my feeling is, I think that, he is a coach first. And I think he maybe is the greatest coach of our generation because of this.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I think that I've never heard him talk about politics before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he understands the importance of keeping his team together and keeping his team united.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm not saying he doesn't believe in what he's saying about Trump. I think that he feels that it's important his players know that he publicly feels this way so that he doesn't lose their trust.
You know why? because he's not just a coach. Like, there's some people that are coaches that, mm-hmm. that aren't leaders. He's
a leader
who happens to coach.
That dude, and to what he was saying before about what he said about learning who LaMarcus was. Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that you admit, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, some coaches will never even do that shit. Phil Jackson has not once said, never I fucked up this whole thing with the Knicks. Like, I'm good. I'm just going to go to the mountains and chill out. Like, Popovich should be the first one to be like, I fucked up here.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to change it.
Yeah, but he's great. I was asking, we had this guy named Jared. He's Jared, I forget his last name, but we had on Brilliant Idiots. He was a football player, and he's now he's writing some things and figuring out what he's going to do the next part of his career.
Okay.
But, he's a really interesting guy. And I asked him, I was like, you know, what is great like leadership. What did you get from somebody who lead? And he goes, he was great empathy, and they learned how to coach you specifically. And I go, what do you mean? He's like, well, there's this coach I had in college that knew that I played great pissed off, and he was the most caring and nurturing person, but he would throw me out of every practice.
Just to piss you off.
He knew that when I was angry, I was unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he had to get me angry. And Coach K even said that about, who's the fucking, what's his name? The white guy that everybody hated. No. The old white guy that everybody hated. Christian Laettner.
There you go.
He even said about Christian Laettner, he was talking to one of his NBA coaches, and he goes, Christian is a fire, right? And a fire in a building can heat the entire building if it's harnessed, right? It can also incinerate the whole building.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to use that fire. And some coaches, maybe they're so concerned in the X's and O's and keeping their job, and they don't have the ability to make those relationships. But clearly, Pop is one of those people who understands, one, it's important that I speak out politically right now,
mm-hmm.
so that my teammates, who might look at me as a wealthy old white guy, but they don't get the perception that I'm not supportive of them and what they need, equality.
And he has an army background as well, so it's like, it's probably a little
even
deeper
double. That's right. Because they're, and you know what? He might have even voted conservative in the past.
He might
and
have.
People might talk about that to some of the players. So there's situations that he's handling right now. And also just the fact that he's reaching out independently to these different people. I would just love to speak to not him as a coach.
He's just wildly interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those sports figures that I was like, yo, like, there's maybe like five people in all sports I just want to sit and just listen to you talk. Like, we don't even have the conversation. Like, I'll just listen to you just talk, like, in a room or
and
something.
And then I want to hear Duncan talk about him.
Word.
Like, that's some shit. When I watch sports docs, that's what gets me emotional. When I hear greats talk about other greats, like men that they admired, like talking about coaches maybe who have passed and like what they meant to them, that kind of shit. Like, I want to hear what Duncan has to say about Pop. I want to hear what Tony has to say. And even
Kawhi. He had some good stuff to say about him during his retirement speech or whatever, like the last game that he had in San Antonio. And it's like, you can tell just like how you know he's a real leader is how other players talk about him. You know what I mean? Like, how LeBron glows about Popovich.
So LeBron has tons of affection.
Tons of affection for Popovich. And vice versa too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Shaq, all these people just, like, revere him. You know what I mean? Like, and for a while, like, you know, definitely before, like, the social media age where everything was a soundbite and everything was out there, like, you would always hear these things about Pop, but, like, you would never know it because he just, you know, he would do the Craig Sager thing on the media and, like, you know, he'd be like, you know, we got to do this. All right, cool. But you know what I mean? And people, you know, didn't think that was, you know, whatever. But, like, obviously they were winning all the time. Like, they were like, okay, like, there's something there.
Yeah.
There's a reason why all these people respect him and follow him and all this other stuff. So it wasn't until, like, just very recently that the world is starting to know, like, oh, okay, now I get it.
So you think that players are having these discussions with each other and that's how Pop gets a rep amongst players?
I think so. So
Duncan is talking to LeBron and saying, let me tell you something. I've had a bunch of, you know.
And you can't discount, like, the Team USA experiences where, like, they were together for, like, a summer.
You know what I mean?
All that type of shit. So, like, it's really interesting. Like, he's, like, super interesting to me, dog. Like, he's a dream guest here. No, I've never met him. Like, I've seen him at, like, All-Star Weekend, but, like, I've never, like, interviewed him or anything like that. But, like, he's, like, a dream guest. Like, if we could ever get...
If he ever
has a podcast...
Yeah.
If he ever does a podcast ever,
It
would be the most listened to sports podcast probably ever.
He's going to have an interesting career when he retires. I hope he stays around.
I think so. I think he'll be on some, like... He'll be like the basketball John Madden, where, like, he's like, you know, you might not have a video game or some shit like that, but, like, he would still be like a figure.
Yeah.
And, like, people, like, people who don't even like know football coaches like that associate Madden with head football coaches. Yeah. And it's like, I think Pop is going to be like that for the NBA.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I think Phil kind of fucked it up with his last Knicks run. And Phil was that guy for a while.
Yeah.
Some people might still have Pat Riley as that guy for them. But like, I think Pop is going to be the dude.
I think Pop is the most relatable of all of them.
Yeah.
I think Phil has always had like, you had to respect him because he had the rings and the success, but he has been like odd.
Yeah. He always had these weird idiosyncrasies about him.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, like
he's
I went
like
a
depressive type.
Yeah. Like I went to an Amex like sit down with him and Shaq.
Okay.
And like Shaq was talking about how he recruited him to the Lakers and like he made him like smoke this sage and like go in the mountains of Montana and do
a
lot of
Did he make
this.
Him move a log or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, like this weird shit. And like, you know, that's the complete opposite side of the spectrum of that is Pat Riley, who's right. Showtime. He's, you know, glitz and glamour. He's like, bro, like the mob boss. You know what I mean? Like, that's Pat.
Yeah, yeah.
And Greg Popovich is right in the middle where he's like this sort of everyman, but very, very intelligent, very, very unique in the way that he can like just galvanize like grown men.
That's interesting. Pat impresses you. Phil
Pat impresses you with
weirds
the
you out, yeah. right? Like Pat recruits you like you recruit like Instagram thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Pat pulls up in the Bugatti and he's like, "Oh, you're here? What? Like, oh, that's crazy that you're here. What a coincidence!
That's literally all he did to get the big three. Exactly. He just put his rings on the table. He's like, y'all want this, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah,
Have you tried Cuban pussy? Like, he does some Jesus Shuttlesworth shit. Like, remember when Rick Fox was showing Jesus Shuttlesworth around a campus? Like, oh, y'all like fucking white bitches together? Oh, okay, cool.
There you go.
There's some white bitches. And then Phil is just on some weirdo shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but he's got the rings and he got the pedigree to back it up.
So it's like, okay, so it must work. So I guess I got to follow it.
Like, if he didn't have the success, you would think Phil was the most annoying, odd. He'd be like another vegan. I get it.
He's like those fake deep girls. Yeah. And like, oh my God, the vibes and the chakras. Yeah, yeah, and
here's
like,
a stone. This stone is for your birthday.
It's like Mercury's in retrograde this month. And then like, shut up, Phil. Exactly. All right, nobody gives a shit.
Exactly. But since he got the rings, you got to listen.
But you listen.
Exactly.
And he coached Jordan. So I was like, okay, I'll listen.
You got to have something. If Jordan would just come out and be like, yo, I'm be honest with you, yo.
I know what the fuck you're
Phil's talking. A goofball. Son, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Phil. I'm tired of that shit. I'm tired of him talking to me. Stop recommending me books, motherfucker. Like, I'll read a book if I want to read a book.
I don't want to smoke sage. I smoke cigars.
I smoke cigars and I watch Western movies. You got a Western to recommend? No, that would really kill Phil's rep. Okay, fair enough. And then you have Pop, and I'm trying to figure out what Pop is. Pop, in a weird way, is almost like a... It's like your high school coach.
Yeah.
Like his relationships with his players or maybe college. Like
He's like a college coach.
Or a college coach. Like it's like he cares. Maybe I'm going too far with this, but like it's almost like he cares about like making them men a little bit.
Actual men. Yeah. Like, no, I completely believe that. I think what Pop, it's like, all right, the NBA is very cultureless. It's the most player-driven league of all the four sports, right? The San Antonio Spurs are the only team that has a legitimate culture there, and it's all because of him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's been the longest tenured coach in the NBA, the most championships in the past whatever years. You know, in the league where coaches come and go. You know what I mean? Like, when you go to the Spurs, you play Spurs basketball. When you go to the Cavaliers... You're doing whatever LeBron wants.
It's LeBron.
When you go into Boston, like, you know, you're doing whatever, you know, Brad. Not really, but like there's no real culture in NBA teams. You know what I mean? They're all driven by whatever star player we have.
Right.
And it's like, and that's what Pop said. He's like, I taught him how to play our style before I found out how he played. Right. And that's because they have a style. You know, it's like, if you don't fit in the Spurs, like, we don't need you. You know, that's why they don't sign these big free agents. That's why they don't make those big splashes like that. It's like, they're the only true culture in the NBA. It used to be the Lakers with the Showtime and we're going to run and we're going to gun and all this stuff. And even that was star driven because that doesn't work without Magic. You know what I mean? Like nothing else in the NBA is driven by a coach more.
What does it take to create that on a team?
Winning, trust, I guess.
But it's organizational trust.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just...
Because he's not just the head coach. He's the head of basketball operations all day. So he runs everything. Right. Like, he's signing the players. He's
Which has never worked for anybody else.
Except him. You know, so like, and you see a lot of players, a lot of people trying to do that now with like, you know, your Jason Kidds and your Stan Van Gundy's.
Minnesota like, with Tibbs. With Tibbs. Though I think it might be able to work with.
It might work with Tibbs.
Yeah, I respect Tibbs. And I think that.
Which is comes from that family tree of yeah. Popovich. So it's like, you know, even he's got like his disciples where it's
wait
like.
Wait, Tibbs was a.
Was he on there, Popovich? I don't know. Anyway.
I know that the guy that coaches 76ers comes from that family tree.
Right. But anyway, yeah, like it's I don't know how that's built, but like, dude, Popovich has been the coach there for what, since like 97, 98?
Yeah.
Like since like Duncan's second year or rookie year or something like
and
that.
No scandal.
None.
No baby mama.
None. Not even
no
a
drunk driving.
Not even a player on the Spurs has had a scandal. That's a culture there. You know what I mean? Like,
whoa.
The only thing is the Tony Parker eye at Greenhouse with the Drake shit. With the Drake and Chris Brown thing, and he was a bystander.
Yeah, he got caught in a drive-by.
Yeah, and it's like, dog, it's not just the player, it's not just the coaches and the winning and the players and all that. It's off the court, like it's almost Patriot-like. Yeah. It's almost Patriot-like, where it's like, you know, you play the Spurs way, and it's not like they ship you out if you fuck up because there's no fuck ups.
There's no fuck ups, yeah. And it, you know what? People who don't buy in, they do ship out because they picked up Jimmer for debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmer just wasn't good enough.
From my understanding, Jimmer wanted to hoist.
Really?
And Jimmer, I guess, has an ego. I guess this is what happens when you're putting 70 on Chinese kids out there or something like that. But apparently, he wanted to hoist and he didn't really see himself fitting into the system because Jimmer is a Patty Mills. Jimmer is like, you know, he's this undersized.
I thought that was going to work when they signed
him. So we're all like, just go in a corner, shoot the threes. Shoot the ball. This is the ideal situation. And apparently, he wanted the ball in his hands too much. Like, to me, that made me lose all faith in Jimmer.
Yeah.
He was a fun guy to root for.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, this good little Mormon kid. I don't even know if he's Mormon.
Sort of local, too. Like, he went to BYU. He's from New York State, from upstate.
That's right. He's from, he is from upstate.
I want to say Saratoga Springs or something like that, but yeah, he's from New York.
Yeah. And he's just an interesting kind of story. It's always fun to root for these, like, under guys. Like, you look at the guy's face.
Those college stars that, like, never really, like, turn into pro stars.
He's doing the Steph Curry shit before Steph was, right? Like, he's pulling from 5 feet out, you know? He was doing that, like, anyway, point is, once I heard that he couldn't fit in San Antonio. And it was like, oh, we don't need to talk about
you. It's your fault. Yeah. Sorry. It's your fault. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, when you have a friend who's so nice and like somebody doesn't like you, it's like, oh, it's nothing wrong with the friend. Something's wrong with you.
Something wrong with you.
Everybody loves this guy.
Like, you couldn't play for Pop.
Like, you're a basketball player and you couldn't make it, and they wanted you, and you couldn't make it work over there,
and all you had to do was do what you do, which is shoot threes.
Yeah, it's like, no, something's wrong with you, dude.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy Asian food because that's where you're going to be playing for a long time.
Asian food's awesome.
Hell yeah, it is. God bless. At least the stuff here. I don't know how delicious that shit is over there.
they probably treat like our American food like that.
They're like burgers. That being said, maybe all that MSG is the reason why American players be dropping like 70 points a game. They got all that energy, they're hype. You know what I mean? A couple of egg rolls.
Stephon Marbury, damn statue.
Stephon Marbury's 40 years old. He's jumping out the gym still. We need fuck steroids. We need MSG,
bro. He balled so hard. He almost thought he was gonna come back to the NBA. Son. Like they was like, oh yeah, he's gonna do it. I'm like, bro.
He was like, I think I'm ready for my comeback. You're 63 years old, Steph. There's no comeback. For what?
Nobody would love a Stephon Marbury comeback more than this Knicks fan right
here. Of course. That being said, Jose Calderon is still in the league. I think Stephon Marbury could play as well.
He should get a tryout. At least work him out.
Jose Calderon got to have the plug on some weed or some shit like that. He got to have some weed that like, or he has a clean piss test that he could give everybody. What is his purpose on the TV? Tell me.
Here's my thing. You talk about Calderon, right?
Yeah.
Who has a legitimate NBA skill. He's a great shooter. Like, he's, like, literally one of the all-time great, like, percentage three-point shooters, sure, like, in the league, enough. Right? How's Matthew Dellavedova still on the team? That's what I want to know.
That hustle D?
But that you could see... That's not a skill. That's not a skill at all. Like, you can make that happen to anybody.
What is more helpful to your team?
A guy that can put the ball in the hoop.
But if you're too slow to get open, you can't put the ball in the hoop.
Well, no.
Listen, Dellavedova's trash. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not making an argument, but I would rather a Dellavedova on my team than a Calderon on my team because I'm not paying Calderon to get me buckets because I know he can't. Mm. And Dellavedova, you're not going to get me buckets at all. But if you're just a pest to the opposing point guard, if you just make them work a little bit harder, that's all you got to do. All you do, you're not going to stop them. You're going to make them run around screens a little bit harder.
There was a point in time where Jose Calderon was like a legitimate starting point guard.
Yeah, and that point in time is when he was living in Europe playing basketball.
The Toronto. He had a good couple years in Toronto. He averaged like 17 a game or 15 a game, something like that, and was one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. And
you have this affinity for Jose Calderon.
Jose Calderon is not whack. He should not be the barometer of whackness on this podcast.
What I'm going to see is a fucking WhatsApp text message come in from some goofy +44 number that's going to be Jose Calderon's number. He never got switched over. Exactly. Guys, I appreciate you.
You know, it's my Knicks fandom in me, man. I always look out, even when they're not Knicks no more.
Anyway. All right, let's wrap this up, man. That was another episode of Flagrant 2. Thank you guys so much. Yo, keep subscribing to this. Keep telling your friends. Keep spreading the word. We got the video, full video coming up. You can get that at youtube.com/TheAndrewSchultz. It's also the Brilliant Idiots YouTube page. Those are one and the same. So we post that up there, post some clips up there. So make sure you subscribe to that. And keep on spreading the word. Likes, comments, everything you can do on the iTunes, SoundCloud.
All that helps us
so much, man. So if you really like the podcast, drop one of those comments or drop some likes. Tell some fucking people about it and share it. And I would really greatly appreciate it. Kaz, I know you got some things coming up, so let them know.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody who came to DC for Annie Palooza. It was awesome. Shout out to Wale who came out and, you know, all the big DC homies for Howard Homecoming. We'll be in Atlanta in 2 weeks for Annie Palooza again. So get your tickets down at HennyPalooza.com. You can listen to me every Monday through Friday on 10 a.m. from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Satori Radio. Download the app. That's NYC Satori or Satori-NYC.com. Check out the Wrestle Rap podcast every Saturday, Kings of Saturday. Me and my boy Emilio Sparks talk pro wrestling. I know people ask me why we don't talk wrestling on Flagrant 2, and I'm like, because these guys don't like it, but I love it. And we can talk about it.
I don't hate on wrestling, I just don't know anything about it.
And I know plenty.
Yeah, you got another podcast for that. So if you like that, go fuck
with us on Saturdays. But that's about it, man. And shout out to everybody at Bleach Report, I guess.
Yo, I got some shows coming up. I'm gonna be in Chicago at Zany's downtown. I'll be there November 4th through 7th. And then New York City, I got a big show the 9th for the New York Comedy Festival. I'll be headlining Gotham Comedy Club.
Everybody show up and show out for that.
Yo,
all the Flagrant 2 fans, come out and check that out, man.
I want to see you guys. I want to see you guys specifically. Shout outs for our Flagrant 2 peoples. So make sure you check those out. I got some more dates. I'm going to be in D.C. as well. I'm going to be out in Jersey as well. So go to theandrewsschultz.com for all the rest of my tour dates. Make sure you check out the Wester Bros podcast, another podcast that I do. It's a TV film review podcast I do with a couple of the boys that I play ball with. And so right now we're going to do Stranger Things. We're going to do a binge episode of that. So we are going to binge it together all in one day right here in the studio. And we're going to record the response after each episode. So you could essentially, I don't think it's ever been done before, but we're going to do podcasts in the same way that we binge a show. So you could essentially listen to the podcast as far as you have watched the show. So if you watch the first 3 episodes, listen to the first 3 episodes of the podcast. If you watch the first 5, listen to the first 5, et cetera. But you can keep up with us. So it kind of captures that experience, and hopefully you guys really fuck with it. So make sure you subscribe to the Wester Bros podcast, and that's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all of your things. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening to Flagrant 2. We really appreciate you. Keep on doing it. Peace.